I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last thing you said.
I'm wondering why you didn't tell us you were Jerry Lee Lewis, just in a different body.
Even Everett, well, Chuck's coming in today, so he can play along with the steel guitarist that we're going to audition for the band. Chuck will tell you the part that I learned. Plus, I don't know if you guys noticed, I took them off. I put stickers on the keys that I knew I need to hit.
Oh, no.
You still had to play it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And play it.
I had to use different colored stickers.
But you did it.
Yeah, that don't matter. It's, you know what? Before too long, you won't need the stickers.
Given the fact you'd had like 3 hours of tutor time.
That was about four.
Fine. 4 hours. And you turned into Jerry Lee Lewis of the keyboard back here.
Well, now you're overselling it.
No, I'm not.
What's the deal? You playing the piano now?
Yes. Yeah, since I've mastered the guitar.
Excellent. Moving on to other things.
Yes.
Well, I've got to hear it now.
Did you pull it?
Uh-huh.
On your flash?
Absolutely.
So you spent 4 hours and you've learned the piano.
Not the whole song. I just learned the boogie riff on the left with the left hand.
Right.
The dun 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 dun. And then stuff on the right. And then I did the piano sweeps with the keys.
And multiple sweeps.
Okay.
That's why I had to mark the keys over on the far right to know where to go back to.
I don't even care. I played piano for a year, and I never came close to that.
Ever, can you play the piano?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, then you'll be able to tell. The one part that I learned, sort of learned, I got stuck in the middle.
Okay.
I forgot. All right. Which way? I go to the left or the right here? But you'll be able to tell the small part I learned how to play.
Okay.
It's probably the easiest part of the song.
Well, let's hear it, man. I'm excited now.
Oh, I see it.
That's a good start.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's you?
How are you doing that?
This is where I got stuck.
Well, you're not stuck. You're not stuck. You're doing great.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. You're a freaking pro.
That's awesome.
You see what I'm talking about? The part that I picked was the easiest part of the song.
Yeah, but I mean, just imagine what you could do in 5 hours.
See? I didn't oversell anything.
It was like 30 seconds of the song, maybe.
Yeah, but people spend a lot more than 4 hours to learn nothing.
That's true.
I just started with the left hand, learning the rhythm part.
Right.
Is that what you call it?
Whatever, sure.
Whatever's on the left-hand side of the piano.
Whatever you say, Beethoven.
Yeah, at this point, he's just redefining piano, so whatever he says is now the new stuff.
Had I not gotten stuck in the middle, I'd have had it.
Well, put in another 30 minutes, and who knows what you'll accomplish.
And I couldn't really look up and tell anybody, I'm stuck. I don't know where to stop. No, I'm not. Because you can hear it. It's the same chord over and over.
Right.
See, here, stuck.
Well, you're not stuck. You're doing great.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
You've never played piano before.
Freaking prodigy.
No, not really. I know the dun 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 dun.
Heart and Soul.
Yeah. I could play both sides of that one.
Oh, good. Good.
Show off.
And I knew one small part of the beginning of The Entertainer. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Did you take lessons to learn these things? Or
no.
You just sort of picked them up on your own? Or
I've jacked around at the house with the piano I've got.
Okay.
Where you're
even though it's a player. I mean, it's electronic Yamaha or Suzuki. Or
you just sort of trace the keys as they get pressed in? And then you try to
just
do it yourself?
Mark them.
Oh, well. That's, dude, that's fine.
Yeah.
Is that a cheat?
Well, no. It's just most people don't tend to mark their keys. But
yeah. See, you
just put stickers on because, you know, when you do the sweep of the keys, I'm going to forget which two keys with my right hand I was banging on.
Right. I got you.
See, it's not a cheat, but 21st century terms is it's a hack. It's a life hack.
Plenty of people use it for learning stuff, so no, it's not that big of a deal to put stickers on your keyboard.
Plus, you
and I had to use different stickers to do it. Mark the different chords.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's just stickers.
What sticker do I go to?
If I do it again, I'm going to have to mark, not only have them color-coded, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to number them. Okay. Start in C.
Yeah.
This is one.
Mm-hmm. So did Chuck tutor you, or did you teach yourself, or how did this come about?
You said Alfie helped.
Alfie helped me get started.
Alfie plays?
Sort of.
I know little tiny bits, nothing really much at all.
And I looked online. There's, you know, there are people, here's how to play Great Balls of Fire on the piano, and they'll show you a cheat version, which is always the first place I go.
Okay.
That's it. End of story. Nothing else.
Very impressive.
If you insist.
Well, I do. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
We were all impressed. Clearly, uh-huh. We had no idea he could do that.
But I'm not learning the whole song.
Well, you're this close. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That is not this close. There, you listen to the entire song. There's too much.
You only put in 4 hours. I mean, some people study the piano for years.
To learn 30 seconds with stickers.
Yeah, but...
That's still more advanced than most.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you should go and enter the next Van Cliburn, but still, you got skills. Although Everett may be right, if you instead of 4 hours, if you put in, you know, a whole year, maybe you could actually register.
Maybe he could enter your competition.
Who's
Van Cliburn?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Is that the cowboy from the westerns?
Yes, it's the cowboy from the westerns.
Yeah, holds a big.
That's Van Johnson.
Actually, it was Van. Cleef or Clef or something.
Oh,
like
Lee
that.
Van Cleef.
Yeah.
Well, they're both from Western.
Well, at least some of us got part of the joke. We ended it all together, and there's a bit. Okay. I was going to ask Everett. Okay, what changes the law quickly? And try and dumb it down for me, because when you explained it to me on the phone, I didn't get it.
Oh, no.
You know when I got stopped by Frisco PD for no front plate?
Right.
And nothing else. Not like it was, hey, you were speeding, and I noticed you don't have a front plate. I was just sitting at a light. It was Super Bowl night.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. I called Everett near the end of the Super Bowl.
Phone rings. I see Russ's name pop up. 1:30 left and maybe the most exciting Super Bowl in the history of football. I'm thinking he's in jail. He's near death.
I'm surprised you even answered.
I thought about it, and I thought, no, it's got to be really important for him to be calling me at this very moment.
You've learned.
I answer, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm doing what everybody in America except for you is doing. I'm watching the most exciting Super Bowl ever.
So what was the slip in the law a few years ago that went into place to where you didn't have to have a front plate, or you had to have a front plate, but there was no penalty?
Well, the penalty, I'll try to dumb this down, as you say, as best I can. The penalty scheme.
Was that correct, though?
Yeah, the penalty scheme was jacked up, and so it was unenforceable for that reason. But it's since been fixed.
Okay. But I just couldn't figure out, no plate? That's it. Sitting at a stoplight, I've got my turn signal on, and I don't even know where he came from. I make a left. He lights me up. I make a right straight into the 7-Eleven, which is where I was going. And He pulls up behind me, hits me with spotlight. He was courteous the whole way through. I didn't get a ticket. He just said you need to have one. So,
yeah, it's a law.
Then I put the plate on the front of the car the next day, and somebody in Frisco stopped me for having too many plates.
No, they didn't.
It's a fine line.
Well, then people, and I posted, I wasn't pissed. I was just curious if anybody else had been through that. I posted on Twitter, and then you get a lot of responses. Well, you don't have to have two plates in Texas. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, well, it's an easy way for the police to have a reason to pull you over. I mean,
you think he was just pulling me over to sniff inside?
Quite possibly.
That's my guess.
I don't want to presume more than I know, but I can just say that that's a very easy, you know, if you're driving around without a front license plate and the cops want to pull you over, they can. And then they're in your car, and if you smell like alcohol or if they smell weed or whatever, they can set up the necessary nexus to ultimately, you know, get you out of the car, give you a field sobriety test, whatever. I mean, it can lead to your arrest.
Hold you down, beat you unconscious. Oh, yeah, man, didn't have a front license plate. I'm going to whoop some ass.
And I even admitted, yeah, I know I don't have a front plate. Why didn't he go ahead and write me a ticket?
Well, if we are presuming that he was just doing that to see what you were up to, that giving you a ticket for not having a front license plate was not his ultimate goal.
But I admitted to it. It seems like that's a freebie.
As I say, he may have been
looking for
bigger fish.
Exactly.
Oh.
You were just a baby fish.
You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. He probably figures, like everyone else in America.
Here we go.
Maybe you're watching the Super Bowl and you ran out of beer, and you want to rush down to the store so you can come back and catch the last 2 minutes of the game.
I didn't care.
Like everybody else, because it's so exciting. And it came down to the last 2 minutes, and he probably just thought that you might be drinking or have beer or whatever.
He was right. I was going for alcohol, but it was NyQuil.
You're such a bad boy.
Okay. Well, the way, we got some of the ratings back from KFXR, 1190, our morning rebroadcast.
Right.
I've gotten so many different. First of all, just the fact that the station showed up at all with a .2, .1, .0 something.
Yeah.
Right.
We were going to hold a party at just a .1.
We weren't doing anything. Station management, they were just sitting back waiting for the first week to come in.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the ratings didn't start for the year until January. I guess they rated it during the holiday. I don't know. I don't know that much about the ratings. I just know we get them and we get to stay. And I didn't think about this till afterwards. First of all, David Henson said, actually, it was a little bit better than what you guys thought. Mornings, men 25-54. The week before, we had a 0.0.
Okay.
The next week in the ratings, we had a 1.3 share.
Impressive.
That was men 25-54. Men 18-49, we had a 1.4 share.
Hey.
Nice.
Men 18-34, we had a 2.2 share.
What?
Wow.
Now, that's sellable.
Yes. It's also so odd that we actually have more of a younger audience on AM.
And something else that's not calculated into this is these are ratings. They break them down. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., 10 to 3, 3 to 7, 7 to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're giving us is the 6 to 10 ratings.
Gotcha.
Which means there's 6 to 7 is they're averaging an hour of shit into our numbers. And we're not getting credit for the 11 to 10 to 11.
Right.
Until they get the whole book, and then they can break it down 7 to 11. We've seen exactly what we got. Plus, again, I don't know what time the station goes to high power. If it's, I don't know. Do you know when sunrise is?
Varies.
You.
Well, it does. It's not the same time every day.
I meant now. Does it vary dramatically from day to day?
No, but incrementally.
Dan, pull up and see when sunrise is.
Okay.
For this part of the country. For any particular week in February.
I know what time the Super Bowl is. I know that.
Damn it. I told you. I asked you if you were watching. You said yes. I went, this can wait. You go, no. I went, I'll make it quick.
Well, I figured it had to be important.
I was just curious. I didn't know if they were hosing me around or if it was legal to stop me for no play. I wasn't going to do anything.
1.5 minutes left. Seattle's driving. Circus catch at the end. Phone rings. Hey, man, what are you doing? Nothing.
We got off the phone before the game was over.
Damn right.
Sunrise is at 7:17 a.m.
Okay. Is that just the break? Is it like dawn?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, so they probably go to full power about 7:15. Maybe 7:30.
Really, that's how they time it? I had no idea.
Of what?
The rise in power correlates to the sunrise.
Yeah, because AM signals travel further at night, so they have to, at dusk, they have to drop to a lower power for 1190. It's either 5,000 or 10,000 watts. I don't know.
So they're continually adjusting the time?
Yes.
Okay.
So let's say at 7:15, they go to high power. They go from whatever the nighttime power is to 50,000 watts.
Okay.
That's when you have coverage.
I see.
So I was just curious how much of the show is not heard. Is it low power? You can't even hear it in this hall. Okay. Got any audio you want to play quickly? Got a break coming up.
Well, I'm not sure how quickly. Yeah, actually, Cut 11 is fairly quick. This happened a couple days ago. A 911 call in Maryland got a lot of attention this week because the dispatcher told a 13-year-old girl to stop whining after her father and his fiance were run over in the highway.
Were they killed?
The father was. And his 13-year-old daughter called 911.
This is Cut 10?
11.
11. Cut 11 says two congressmen get into a fight.
Then cut 10.
Can't believe that we...
Will you pull your audio? Do you have tray number these for you?
On occasion.
Can't believe that we are.
Ma'am, stop yelling. I need a location.
We are 295. Good, are we?
Okay, 295. That's good. We're located now on a highway. Now, that's a pretty long road.
We're on the side of the highway. We're the only car pulled over. Can y'all hurry up, please?
Ma'am, listen, let's stop worrying about hurrying up and get there. We're already on our way. I need to find a better location. So two people were struck?
Yes, they both went. They just went.
Okay, let's stop whining, okay? Let's stop whining. It's hard to understand you.
I'm not sure the one is talking on her hip. I don't know. It's my fault you not say anything.
Is there someone else there I can talk to? Because it's so hard.
Brother. It's only my little brother. I'm talking better than him right now. Daddy already on their way. He just wants to.
Okay, ma'am, please stop yelling. Stop yelling, please.
And again, that's why I said I don't know what they pay dispatchers. Now, are people having a fit because he used the word whining?
Oh, yes. Especially given the situation that, you know, her father had just been killed. Fiance was also hit by a car. The car did not stop. And then it's, you know, she's trying to do the best she can.
Well, she just gave them a freeway. It's like saying we had a wreck on 635.
I'm going to need you to tell me where, sir.
Well, it's on 635. I'm rattled.
Become unrattled.
This is a no-win in a situation like that because people call and they go, "What?" They don't realize the dispatcher's typing in the information as it's coming in. So it's not like, all right, they're not going to send anybody until we hang up.
Yeah.
All the information's going in at that moment. As much information as you can give them in the beginning, the better off you are. And just saying, hey, it's on Beltline, you're jacked.
Yeah, definitely need more specifics.
Okay, let's go ahead and break here. We could discuss further if you wish. We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
3:35, first check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by JCPenney. A couple incidents going on. Let's get started off in Dallas, north on I-35, right at Ewing Avenue. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up back to 67, about a 15-minute delay through that. And also in Dallas, north on I-35, right at Highline. Got a stalled vehicle there being cleared out right now. Traffic there is jacked up back from Woodall Rogers. Never miss a moment of the show by subscribing to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives today at russmartin.fm. All proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Three Forks Steakhouse. Tonight, eventual clear skies, overnight low 42. Then tomorrow, lots of sunshine and a high of 71. Right now, it's 57. The 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, I meant to ask before the show. I forgot. Has anybody actually met Nathan from Dickie's in person, or has he just dropped the food off and go?
No, yeah, we've all met him.
See?
I gave him a big hug today.
A good one?
It was a good hug. It was a good man hug. Slapped his back a couple times and everything.
You talked to him in his ear?
Yeah.
Luke Bryan loves you.
Man, I love your meat. Bring it in. Let's hug it out. Make it real.
The reason I ask is, I don't know what we've done to ingratiate ourselves to him. But not only does he bring food up every Friday, never asked for a mention. In the course of the past year or so, we had an officer or firefighter die. And he took food over to the family.
Wow.
So, you know, after the services, because they're going to have other things to worry about. For Christmas, he bought each one of us a bag of stuff that he put more thought into it than our own families did for us.
Nice.
I know. My family last year got me a scrub daddy. Nathan got me a reciprocating saw.
And more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a bag of a cheap like we normally get from the sales department.
Yeah, that they dug out of a trade somewhere.
Got me a external hard drive. I think a terabyte.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There's other stuff, but it all specific to the things that we talked about on the air that we like, needed, whatever. Alfie, what do you get you?
He got me a Bluetooth keyboard for tablets.
Awesome.
Universal, compatible with everything I got.
Hello?
GoPro and drinking accessories.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm impressed.
I felt bad because, first of all, I don't even think we thanked him on the air, and we certainly didn't get him anything.
Mm-mm.
Who would have thought that we needed to buy something for a meat man?
I know. I felt more beholden to get him something than people I'm related to. It's like, man, I want to get something really nice for Nathan now.
But each bag had, without exaggeration, $200-$300 worth of stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Well, I can tell that you're...
It's a big deal to us, Everett. Thank you very much.
No,
We thought it was a wonderfully kind gesture.
I think so, too.
And he's one of those people that doesn't hang around to wait for a thank you. So then you feel empty.
Well, that's not good.
All right.
Well, I'm sure you know how that is.
What?
Disappearing before you people can give you the proper appreciation. Or at least trying to.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes.
We ain't turning this back on me.
Because it was there to be done. If I saw a table and then I just flipped the bitch over.
Okay, so you want to go back to the 911 call or what? That's, like I said earlier, that's a no-win because you got to calm them down, and I can't imagine there's any type of training. I'm sure they go through some, but there's can't be enough training to calm people down in an emergency.
Or enough training to get yourself to the point to where you need to calm down to keep your level of frustration as low as humanly possible.
Well, in his defense, I didn't take away from that any sort of malicious intent. It didn't sound as though he was trying to give her a hard time. I think he made a poor word choice. But
and that was it. It was just the whining. It's like, you have to calm down so we can help you.
Right.
We want to help you, but You can't just keep saying they're on the side of the road. We're the only car on the side of the road.
Well, it's a big road.
How long was it? Like half a minute?
Yeah.
Can y'all please hurry up?
Ma'am, stop yelling. I need a location.
We on 295. You don't worry.
Okay, 295. That's good. We're located now on a highway. Now, that's a pretty long road.
We're on the side of the highway. We're the only car pulled over. Can y'all hurry up, please?
Ma'am, listen, let's stop worrying about hurrying up and get there. We're already on our way. I need to find a better location. So two people were struck?
Yeah, they both went. They just went.
Okay, let's stop whining, okay? Let's stop whining. It's hard to understand you.
I'm not sure what.
What?
I'm sorry. As much as I would love to bend towards the dispatcher on this, he sounded short, kind of condescending, even up until before he said stop whining. That, the stop whining, is more of just like, you know, the candle on top of it.
I think I would probably still rather have somebody sound condescending then have the dispatcher sound upset, or they're as rattled as a person calling in. Their whole goal is to calm you down.
Yeah.
And if by pissing you off is going to calm you down, I'm with it. I know, ever just, it's a poor choice of words.
But see, I don't think it's just a slip of bad word. To me, it was, there was, you know, a pattern to his attitude, and that just capped it.
Talking on her hip. I don't know. It's my fault. He's not saying
anything. Is there someone else there I can talk to? Because it's so hard.
Brother. It's only my little brother. I'm talking better than him right now. Daddy already on their way. He just wanted to.
Okay, ma'am, please stop yelling. Stop yelling, please.
Yeah, instead of revisiting, now we're playing, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but instead of going repeating stuff he already knew, mm-hmm. Two people were hit. Instead of repeating that, turn around. Look, can you see anything?
Yeah.
Is there a building? Is there, you know, even a Kentucky Fried Chicken? Just anything that can at least give me an area to start with. Yeah, you're right. He sounded like he was pissed off about something else.
Yeah.
I've had enough of you people.
Mm-hmm. Like end of shift or something, ready to go. And she's like, oh, no, I got some idiot. Don't know where they are. Well, I'm on a highway. Yeah, I could. If this was my mother, I would be pissed, but it's not.
Yeah, if it's a family member.
Okay, well, what do I do? Because I've got the box that comes in from the cable company.
Don't. Just forget about watching whatever show it is that you wanted to watch. I should have never bought you cable. And then you stick a VCR in the middle of it. It's like, oh
sweet Jesus,
mother. No.
That's where I think it'd be nice to have, you know, children to where you bring them up with the older technology so they appreciate the new stuff even more. It's like instead of, you know, putting a Blu-ray in their room or something when they're teenagers, give them a VCR. Make them learn how to use that.
I know, it's amazing to me that teenagers now have never seen a rotary phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we gave Kenzie one day and asked her, didn't we?
I think, yeah, we did. What'd she do with it?
Well, she figured out most of it. We tried to see if she was stupid enough to text from it.
Yeah. That's right. I remember, yeah, because she looked at it like the monkeys in 2001 Space Odyssey when the monolith showed up.
Right.
Okay, I recognize a good portion of this. But what's this big knob in the middle?
She's just pressing in the circle over and over. I don't get it.
But I think maybe her grandparents or somebody had a rotary phone. But to explain to her what a party line was.
Oh, yeah.
Back then for us as kids, my grandparents had a party line.
Yeah.
That was like free entertainment.
Listen in on the neighbors.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, it was always two old women talking. For anybody who doesn't know what a party line is, it's you've shared one, I guess, one phone number.
Yes.
And somebody lived in another house. I don't know if they'd be close by. I don't know. But can you explain it better? I'm not doing a good job.
No, I mean, that was really on the cusp of my memory. Those were.
So you really don't know what a party line is.
I know what it is, but we never had one.
So you pick up the phone. If you heard somebody talking, that means somebody was using it. It's a cheap way to get a phone number.
Yep.
And when a call was coming in for you, it would be a different type of ring.
They knew
than the other party had.
I think we actually had one when I was really little because we lived you know, it was rural in the country. And we shared it, I think, with our grandparents and then our other neighbor. And I think they were like a quarter mile down the road. Yeah, and it had that distinctive ring or whatever, so you knew to pick it up.
In van, we only had to dial the last four digits when I was in high school.
It was that way in Ennis when I was in high school. I drive down there to visit.
Wow.
Yeah, I just call it any place in Ennis. And it was great if you had a rotary.
Oh, yeah. Only dial four numbers. And my number was 5288. One of my best friends was 5287. So it's easy to remember.
So you didn't even need a Rolodex.
No. One number less than mine.
We'd pick up the phone. You'd hear two old ladies talking.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares what they're talking about? And you just start going.
I pooted. What'd you say, Madge? Did you poot?
Madge.
Yeah, I pooted. Madge. That ain't Madge. Did you poot?
But giggling.
Yeah, because you can't help it, because now you're hysterical.
Is this that Italian family again? What are you old ladies wearing?
Ew. And listening in on Madge and Opal.
How much longer is this call going to be? Why don't you both go empty out your colostomy bags and give us a break? We got a call.
I think at the time it was illegal. If you picked up a party line and two people were talking, said, I need this line for an emergency, and right. They wouldn't release, I think that was against the law.
Makes sense.
Okay. That's all I know about it. That's just what we do. Our grandparents lived two doors down, so if we had nothing to do, we'd go listen to the party line. It's like really bad. Just imagine two old ladies hosting a radio show. That's what it was.
Oh, God.
Okay, what is this? I read this over the weekend, or earlier this week. Brian Williams from NBC is in trouble about something.
Oh, yeah. It's not just something. He's under. He's basically losing credibility left and right. Because in 2003, he was with a group of helicopters. He was one of the embedded journalists during the invasion of Iraq. And one of the helicopters took fire. All four of the helicopters went to the ground and were, you know, in the Iraqi desert for like 3 days. Over the course of 10 years, Brian Williams had sort of molded the story. Cut 8 is Brian Williams on Letterman in 2013 saying what happened on that day 10 years before.
We were in some helicopters. What we didn't know was we were north of the invasion. We were the northernmost Americans in Iraq. We were going to drop some bridge portions across the Euphrates so the 3rd Infantry could cross on them. Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
RPG and AK-47.
What altitude were you hit at?
We were only at 100 feet doing 100 forward knots because we had these massive pieces of bridge beneath us on slings.
What happens the minute everybody realizes you've been hit?
We figure out how to land safely, and we did. We landed very quickly and hard, and we put down, and we were stuck. Four birds in the middle of the desert, and we were north out ahead of the other Americans.
Oh, my.
What?
So you have the general idea. There's a little more if you want where he actually...
I'm just trying to listen to see if there was a loophole in there. He said, all right, two of the four choppers were shot down.
Including the one we were on.
Okay.
And that was not the case. And the reason why this came up was, it was earlier this week or late last week, he was reading a story about a tribute for one of the soldiers that had helped him out during that ordeal. It was at a hockey game or something. And soldiers saw this, heard about it, that were also part of that operation and said, that's not how it went down, Brian Williams. Your helicopter was not shot. It was a different one. And so his story just started unraveling.
But was he on one of the four helicopters?
See, now that has even shifted. Initially, they were saying he was.
Do I want to listen to this next clip?
The next clip is his apology.
All right, well, let me hear what he says.
Okay.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
But Dan, and I'm sure you followed this story more closely than I, isn't it now being said that he was not even in this group of four helicopters, but in a
right.
helicopter that was some distance, maybe several hours behind?
Yeah, that's the one that's been shifting today. As
come back, that's what I was going to ask.
And it gets kind of confusing because
maybe he was in, if you let's start at the beginning, if he was in one of the four but wasn't shot down, maybe he didn't know. I mean, because if they all have to land pretty quick, maybe you didn't know if you were in one of the ones that was hit.
That would be true if this was all the evidence we had. However, in a book and a blog post with his byline on NBC's website in earlier years, he had said the chopper in front of us had been hit. And the other instance in the book had said the chopper in front of us had been hit. We all you know, landed and then sat out the sandstorm. Then in 2008.
In his book, he got it right.
Yes.
Okay.
And then in 2008, there's some other instances of him writing it down, and the story has shifted to the chopper's taking fire, his was hit, and they landed. And now whatever it is referring to, the newest wrinkle is that Stars and Stripes magazine, the government journalists, had like five sources that said, actually, he wasn't even on one of those four choppers. He was on a completely different chopper doing a completely different mission in a completely different part of the country behind this other group.
So that part's yet to be vetted.
Right. But at the very least, he said, yeah, I was not on the chopper that was hit. So anywhere from him trying to make the story sound cooler, like I'm sure most of us have done at some point, you know, trying to brag to friends or something. But
now, if I know there are witnesses, I'm not lying about it. If I'm the only one around, yeah, I saved that entire family.
Yeah, yeah.
I know they all died, but I pulled all of them out of the car.
Yeah, and then you would think someone as a newsman in the limelight that he would think, hey, these people really know what happened and it can easily come back to bite me. Did go that route.
So where does he stand at this point? Other news people? Who else pulled this? Was it Hillary?
The misremembering thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been so wrapped up in the Brian Williams, I can't think of anybody
else.
Well,
we can stay on that one. I know somebody else has gotten popped on one of these. But he wrote in a book, and he got it right. Why would he take the chance on shifting it maliciously? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if
it may not have been maliciously. I think it's just one of those things where somewhere along the lines, I think he told the story and embellished on it, made himself sound like he was in more danger than he was, and then that became the new story.
Now, if in the course of with more news, if he wasn't even anywhere near that, then he did lie in the book.
Right. And since
is somebody calling for his dismissal?
Oh, yes. Tom Brokaw.
Oh, really?
There are reports. A longtime NBC Nightly News anchor Tom Brokaw reportedly wants Brian Williams thrown out of the big chair after he admitted fabricating key portions of a story he repeatedly told about his reporting experience during the Iraq War in 2003. The New York Post reported that Brokaw has been making a lot of noise at NBC that a lesser journalist or producer would have been immediately fired or suspended for a false report.
Well, he didn't report it on NBC News, did he?
Well, in a way he did, because when he introduced the package where he was at the event to thank the soldier, he said, my helicopter came under fire.
Well, his helicopter could have come under fire someplace else.
It could have, but it's you're going to really need some, you know.
Or just to make it legit, I got out and I shot at my helicopter.
Someone calls up to the pilot, the shooting's coming from inside the chopper.
What, did you pick up a bogey? It's Brian Williams. He's shooting inside the cockpit, screaming something about cheesy bread and running around.
Yeah, in 2008, Williams said in a blog post his chopper came under fire from what appeared to be Iraqi farmers with RPGs. He said a helicopter in front of his had been hit. Then in 2013 on Letterman, That was when he said that it was his chopper that had been hit. Also adding to the intrigue, the New York Post is reporting that Brokaw and former NBC News president Steve Capus, who left the network in 2013, knew that Williams' updated version of his tale was not true before the admission Wednesday evening. And, again, according to the Post, NBC executives had counseled Williams to stop telling the story. So I'm not sure how that is, but...
Alfie, are you getting calls about this?
I am. I have a guy on line 6 that says he was on the aircraft that Williams was on. I haven't gotten any other verifying information from him, though.
All right, we'll do that, because we got a break. So you got... I got a call.
So in addition to this incident, or instance coming under, question... Other reports that other people are now following up on of Brian Williams, going back to Katrina.
So now they're going to question anything he's reported on in the past.
Pretty much. But this is pretty good.
Well, hang on, because we got a break here.
All right.
We'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Now you can wake up with him, too.
Oh, great!
The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
404, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is at KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Join Me. Let's get started off with Fort Worth eastbound Loop 820 right at 35W. Got an accident there. That's traffic backed up back to Blue Mound Road, also in Fort Worth. Northbound 35W right at Meacham Boulevard. Got an accident there. This one involving two vehicles. Traffic there is jacked up back in the Fort Worth Mixmaster. Into Arlington, southbound 360 just before Six Flags Drive. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's backed up back to Trinity Boulevard. About a half-hour delay through it. In Dallas now, southbound Loop 12 Walton Walker right at I-30. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up back from 183. And finally in Dallas, northbound I-35 right at 67. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Your back there is back from Loop 12 Ledbetter. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Cool River Cafe. Clear skies tonight, 42 for the low. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine and a high of 71. Right now, it's 57 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
I can take a like a Spartan.
Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Get back, mom. You don't know me like that. Get back, mom. You don't know me like that.
Woo! All right, two things. Alfie.
Yep.
Did you email the steel guitarist guy the hotline number?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's handled. And the guy on line 6 said he was the door gunner on the aircraft Brian Williams was on.
Yes, he is. That's what he's saying. I tried asking him as many questions as I could, as fast as he could. He knew the answers to them all.
Okay. Hey, Donald.
Hey, Russ. How you doing?
Good. What year was this?
This was 2003.
Okay. Now, was Brian Williams part of the four helicopters, or was he not even involved in any of that?
He was on my aircraft. There was a total of four aircraft during the entire mission. He was on my aircraft, him and his two people that he brought along, plus his escort.
Okay. And the one that you were on, that he was on, was not shot down?
Affirmative. Yes. For civilians.
Tell us exactly what happened. We'll see how close it comes to Brian's story.
Okay, we were on our way north, coming out of Kuwait up into Iraq, and we were just part of the invasion air force. We were hauling a sling load, and we heard the radios light up with other aircraft that was part of that those four, but they were ahead of us. And the radios lit up with everything that was going on the ground with those guys taking fire and everything, and they said they were being forced to the ground. And then as we came up behind them a little while later, we got forced to the ground due to the dust storm and everything getting real bad and rolling in, and then we were also getting lower on fuel, but we weren't gas critical yet.
Okay. So you weren't shot down. You landed because of fuel.
Yeah.
And just visibility.
Fuel and dust.
Okay. Is there any way that Brian Williams could have thought, hey, we were hit as well?
I don't remember if he was on the internal communication system or not. If he had been, he may have thought that we got hit as well, but we were out there for 3 days. And we flew the aircraft home once the dust cleared up and we got gas. And he was with us the entire time.
And you would think if the aircraft had been hit by something, it would have been, you know, among the conversations.
Oh, yeah, definitely among the conversations. Those things will take a lot of abuse, and I've been hit more than one time, and I've flown them home a couple different times.
If nothing else, you would look at the chopper and be like, look, this is where the bullet holes were.
Oh, yeah, and an RPG's got quite a few inches in diameter. It definitely makes a hole when it punches through, even if it doesn't go off.
So you think what's your stance on Brian Williams at this point?
You know, I don't know. I try to keep my personal opinions to myself in a format like this, but in all honesty, you know, he's got to live with what he said. And I know from everything that I've seen through all my different times being deployed, I still remember what I saw in my mind's mind, and there are recounts of a guy that I work with, of missions that he and I were on together, and his account of it is a little bit different than mine, but it all still pretty much goes along the same route.
But Brian Williams was part of the four, we'll just call it a team of helicopters.
Yes.
And while you guys were on the ground, were you under fire?
While we were on the ground, no. We spent about 24 hours completely out there by ourselves, and just so happens the guy that I'm friends with now was part of a bunch of the Bradleys that showed up around us, kind of stumbled upon us in the middle of the desert and surrounded us and gave us security for the next 48 hours or so.
Dan, you've got the story. Do you want to ask Donald anything? Exactly. What kind of gun do you get to shoot, you the door gunner?
Back then, we had M60s, and now we have M240s, which are just fire a 7.62 round. It's all machine guns.
Which one's bigger?
They're both the same size, just one's a little more updated and a whole lot more dependable.
The new one's as big and faster?
No, they're not any faster. They're just a lot more dependable.
They don't jam?
No. No, God, not nearly as bad.
Is it fun?
Yeah, they're a lot of fun to shoot.
What's that? Take people out of the equation. What's the biggest thing you ever shot and blew up?
The biggest thing I ever shot? Oh, God, probably a 50 cal, and I was just shooting at rocks.
You're under fire by rocks?
No, my father-in-law's got a 50 cal, a civilian model, and we bought some decommissioned 50 cal rounds, and we're out shooting rocks at a gun range up in the backwoods of Ohio.
50 caliber, isn't it? What, the state troopers, don't they carry those in the event of if they've got to take down an 18-wheeler?
Man, I don't know.
I believe you're right.
I
want to say Chief Conkle SWAT said that they had one at one time. Dan, you've got the story. You want to ask him anything, or has he answered everything?
He's answered everything. Every other kind of detail that I've got, he's nailed.
Why do you think it would take so long, with Brian Williams being as visible as he is, for him to get called out on this?
I don't know, man. Most of the guys I've ever worked with, we try to exude the quiet professional type persona, and, you know, eventually people start flexing stories or whatever, and sometimes guys just get tired of hearing an inaccuracy, and we're like, look, we're going to set the record straight.
I'm actually kind of surprised that this didn't blow up on Brian Williams in 2013 when he told the story on Letterman, as opposed to this as like a smaller story on the nightly news.
I never heard about it until just recently. This was the first I'd heard about it, and a buddy of mine pulled it up on his computer here at work, and he said, hey, man, look what Brian Williams was talking about. Didn't you say that you knew this guy from a... You know, holy crap.
I got a boss. Go ahead.
You know, this is the same thing I was talking about.
How was he, this has nothing to do with the story, really. How was he to deal with? Was he a diva, or was he just, did he try?
No, he was a pretty cool dude. I mean, he sat around and talked with us and everything, and we started talking about, you know, cars we drove or our family and that kind of stuff. And I think the only thing that he kind of showed that he had a little more money than the rest of us when he was talking about his sound system with subwoofers in the floor. But other than that, man, he was a pretty cool dude. I mean, really, he wasn't a prima donna at all.
Okay.
Was he a dork?
A little bit, yeah.
I could see that.
Why would you ask?
We had to keep an eye on him because him and his escort kept wanting to run off in the desert where you couldn't see anybody because the dust was so thick. We'd have to put like a leash on him and pull him back.
You have to put a bell on the embedded journalist?
Oh, yeah, man. We had to tie a 550 cord, which is just like a nylon rope, to our landing gear just to be able to walk to our other aircraft just so we wouldn't get lost. And they kept disappearing without having their leash attached, so we'd have to hook them back up and drag them back.
I think I would just made those elastic.
Yeah.
when you have journalists embedded with the troops, do you get to choose if you want them with you or not, or are they just assigned to you?
It was just kind of assigned to us. We showed up for a briefing that morning, and the pilots we were flying with said, hey, we're going to have a couple guests on board. If you guys don't know who this is, and he went through and introduced everybody.
Was it sort of like a collective eye roll when you heard that you're going to have the guests?
Not really, man. I was so young and dumb, I didn't really think it was going to be all that bad. But my boss at the time, he kind of rolled his eyes a little bit and kind of mumbled under his breath a little. And then we just went off as professionals, went out and flying and did our job.
That's not enough. You have to go out there and worry about you and your safety and other people in your aircraft. Now you got to worry about a couple of dorks.
And not only that, you got to worry about them getting off their runners.
That was the only part of it that we were getting kind of aggravated with, was when the guys kept disappearing because we were responsible for them.
All right. Well, thank you, boss, for what you've done, and I appreciate the phone call.
Hey, no problem, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
That just figures.
All right. Well, I'm still kind of lost. He was in the four.
Yes.
So the new story that is sort of breaking is, all right, he wasn't in a helicopter someplace else. At least he was in the four.
Yes. Even though it was farther away from the action that grounded the first one. But, yeah. So
I don't know. How pissed off is Brokaw?
He sounds pretty pissed. I mean, let's see. I mean, according to the New York Post, there's Brokaw is saying that he should absolutely, at the very least, be suspended, if not outright fired. Because this damages...
Well, the only thing at this point, if Donald was right, the guy that just called, the only thing that Brokaw lied about was his chopper wasn't shot down, but his was one of the four that had to land.
Mm-hmm. That part was correct, yeah. But to me, it's a classic.
I don't know. See, I like Brian Williams, so it's kind of hard to jump on him. Had Nancy Grace tell the story.
Oh.
I'm okay with a vivisection. Is that the right word?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I think you're right. I think the reason why the backlash may not be as severe, even though I think it is pretty severe, I think it could be worse, but he's so damn likable.
And he apologized. I don't know if it's enough to appease anybody. Obviously not with Brokaw, because I'm going to guess Brokaw's words came after Brian Williams' apology.
Yeah, but even still, the story of the New York Post is saying that Brokaw and NBC News have known about this for a while.
Oh.
And now it's just, now that it's coming out, Brokaw sees it as, it's not just the reputation of Brian Williams being damaged, but what he did to help build NBC Nightly News.
And I think a lot of people are not very excited about Brian Williams' apology. I mean, it was sort of a... It wasn't much of an apology. I was trying to remember veterans who'd fought valiantly, and in so doing, I misremembered.
I bungled something. Yes. It's like, I think you did. It sounds like to everybody else, you say bungle. What you mean to say is I just lied.
Right.
Yeah, let's listen to it. See how long.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect and also now my apology.
As far as apologies go, he didn't have to throw in the part of they served, I did not.
Yeah, but to me, it sounds as though he just sort of did that to candy coat the nature of the apology, which wasn't very forthright, I didn't think.
That's just taking a big chance of lying about being in a helicopter being shot down by an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And so, knowing that sooner or later, somebody's somewhere, it's going to leak. And, you know, when did he take over for the NBC Nightly News?
Right after the 2004 presidential election.
Okay. So he knew he... His career was going to grow at NBC. I don't know. I don't know which way to go on this.
I think
it's not something I would lie about. First of all, you know, I'll lie about bits that we do on the air.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
But then again, when we really do blow something up, nobody believes us.
It is that double-edged sword. But yeah, it was really odd. It's like I had to think about it, and I realized today that I now have more credibility as a newsman than Brian Williams. That's troubling to me.
And now you know there are going to be people go back and like you said, okay, did he really go and report on these things? Did he really see these things? Did he even really go to Louisiana after Katrina? Did he go there?
He did.
It green screened?
He did go. That much has been confirmed. However, when he reported after Katrina that he saw a dead body float by in the French Quarter, that is already being called into question because the French Quarter was never that underwater. It's actually one of the few spots of New Orleans that's above sea level.
He might not have known exactly where he was.
It was at his hotel in the French Quarter.
All right, then he knew where he was.
Yeah. Also, there were no corpses floating through the French Quarter, but in an interview he said, when you look out of your hotel room window in the French Quarter and watch a man float by face down, when you see bodies that you last saw in Indonesia and swore to yourself that you would never see in your country. In the same interview, Williams said, I beat that storm. I was there before it arrived. I wrote it out with people who later died in the Superdome. But Williams did not exactly suffer the same plight as locals. A former producer for CBS Evening News verified that Williams wrote out Katrina in the stadium. However, Williams, like most members of the media, left that afternoon to file his stories. He did not endure the mayhem that evacuees went through overnight and days afterwards as supplies were in short.
So was there any audio at all from Brokaw?
No.
Just a printed statement? Or?
Yeah. It's unconfirmed inside sources saying Brokaw's pissed off.
Well, hang on. I have to prime. It's Tom Brokaw from NBC Nightly News. All right, I got it.
Yeah, you got it. You're good.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly from NBC Nightly News on his telephone. I tell you, that Brian Williams better stop talking that on that damn television set before I whoop his dog ass. Suck his real good, Nicky.
Also, in the same interview, Williams claimed he had fallen sick with dysentery. He said, my two weeks there was not helped by the fact that I accidentally ingested some of the floodwater. I became very sick with dysentery.
What exactly is dysentery?
Like real bad diarrhea.
Oh, now I've had that.
Well, but there's.
I got mine in Mexico at a resort.
I think that's a little different.
You throw up on a wall and you cover it with puke. I don't know if that's considered dysentery, but it's.
I'm not sure.
If I got to choose, I would rather not have whatever it was I had.
I give you that. Dr. Brobson Lutz is an infectious disease specialist who operated an EMS station during Katrina. He told the newspaper that he doubts Williams' claim. He said, I saw a lot of people with cuts and bruises and such, but I don't recall a single solitary case of gastroenteritis during Katrina or the whole month afterward. And then, of course, Twitter users started doing their thing, and they came up with the hashtag.
I would find that hard to believe when you've got that much contaminated water that nobody got sick.
Just what this one guy said.
Well, he said, I didn't see anybody.
That's what he said. For an entire month.
Alfie, what's line two?
That's a cop calling about the Brian Williams thing.
Okay. A cop? Yes, Dana.
Hey, Russ. I mean, this is a big deal. I just wanted to let you know how big of a deal it is. You just don't take credit for someone else's experiences in life. I was talking with my buddy. Swiss cheese, and he'd be pretty upset if I took credit for anything he did in the military, or if I took credit for shooting myself in the foot too. When that didn't really happen to me, I'm not gonna go out there and say I did something that I didn't do, because I didn't shoot myself in the foot like he did, and I'm not gonna go out there and try to claim I did and get sympathy from everybody else that feel sorry for me for doing something so stupid like that, shooting myself in my own foot.
Son of a bitch.
Thank you for bringing it up this time so I didn't have to.
Yeah, I know you appreciate it, so I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right, thank you. What are you doing, Dad?
Mother effer.
From Swiss cheese?
Yeah. I was just in the middle of turning the volume on when it just came through.
He had to be right by the phone because what he heard, anything listeners hear, it's about 30 seconds after we say it, after it goes through the delay system and then from the STL to the transmitter, there's something else in the processing.
Man, that's cold.
I had nothing to do with this one, and we don't even know if Dana was a cop.
No, we don't. I'm going to assume that he is, though, because the way that he told that story, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he was one of the cops in the room with Swiss cheese telling him that he shot himself in the foot, when in fact he did not shoot himself in the foot.
Hey, while he's out, take his gun and shoot him through the foot and then give him his gun back.
Man, that's cold.
And then when he wakes up, then the ballistics will match. Is he still texting?
Yeah. He says, I'm trying to take my daughter to get her driver's permit, and now she's laughing at me. Man, that's
I wonder
wrong.
If she knows.
Daddy, did you shoot yourself in the foot?
I did not. And I don't know why you're on the phone and I'm not.
But did you do it?
No.
Why does everybody say you shot yourself in the foot?
Is there a hole?
Get out here.
Man, that is wrong.
Hand me the bottle of stuff. Thank you.
Yep.
Let me see. Thank you. Alfie, was that the guitarist you just called?
No, that was Chuck telling us he can't come in today.
Why not?
He said he's the only one at work. Everyone else called in sick.
Where does he think he works? Clear Channel? Well, I guess, you know, when... what's the guy's name? Terry. When he shows up, he can play. I guess I could play something with him.
Mm-hmm.
What are you smiling about? Still more texts from...
Swiss Cheese?
Yeah.
He says, yeah, Dana's my partner. Ask Dana about his canine with erectile dysfunction. See what happens when you open the door?
Yeah.
That door swings both ways, baby.
Yeah. A lot of times when you got cop stories, there's more than just one genie in the bottle.
Oh, my God.
What would you care if your canine had erectile dysfunction?
Well, here's the thing. Erectile dysfunction doesn't mean, we assume it means can't get it up, but it could also mean it won't go down. So I don't know which he's referring to, but... I mean, it's already bad enough if you get yanked down by the dog and you get, you know, chewed apart by it. But if it's also humping your face and you're a criminal, yeah.
Or it ain't hard to tell when your dog's loaded.
Or even worse, if you're the handler, it escapes from the cage and starts humping your head as you drive down 75.
Man, that canine just shot a big wad in my face. Big pink thing hanging all over my nose. Bigger than the ones at Six Flags.
Oh, my God.
I don't know whether we should stop and wait for phone calls and more texts. Because, you know, Dana's going to call back and go, hey.
Yeah, there needs to be an explanation. Because you don't want our imaginations running.
It was me that had the erectile dysfunction. Don't put it on my dog. I don't want people thinking I'm running around with a canine with his pink thing out all the time, just waiting for lips to stick it on.
Yeah, if his dysfunction were it was out all the time, that's not a dog you're going to get chased down by.
But actually, that's one of those things they should probably put the word out on the street that Dallas Police has a canine with this particular issue.
Yeah, you want to avoid the old cuff and hump.
Damn it, I can't find the clip.
Oh, my God.
I was looking at the audio of the guy screaming, help, help. I'm losing my mind. This damn dog is doggy style.
He says the dog has more lipstick than a Mary Kay convention.
So it is. It's a weenie that's always out.
It appears so.
Well, couldn't they paint it so it wasn't as obvious or put some camo on it?
Maybe a little hat?
Just something.
Some Kevlar.
Yeah, tell him it's an RPG. Okay, we need a break here?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
437. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by KTX 821. Traffic absolutely blows right now. Here's the very worst of it. Let's start off in Dallas. Westbound I-30 between Loop 12 Buckner Boulevard and Jim Miller. The highway there has been completely shut down due to an accident. Right now, traffic is completely stopped back from Galloway. About an hour and a half delay through it. This one is also causing delay on westbound 80. Try taking Samuel or something to get around it. Also in Dallas, southbound 75, just after Mockingbird, got an accident blocking the left shoulder. Traffic there's backed up back from 635, the high five. Let's move into Arlington, southbound 360, just before Six Flags Drive. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's completely stopped back from 183. In Fort Worth, northbound 35W at Meacham, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Your backup is back from Fort Worth Mixmaster. And finally in Fort Worth, eastbound loop 820, right at 35W, got an accident blocking the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up back to Marine Crank Parkway. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagle's Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Kroger. Clear skies tonight. 42 will be the low. Then tomorrow, sunny. 71 for the high. Right now, 58. The 97.1, the Eagle.
How about some...
How about you suck my and play Bucko? K-E-G-L, the Eagle.
The Russ Martin Show. Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
All right, more audio. Starting news. What was the story about the coach from the Seattle Seahawks crying about something?
Oh, yeah.
Is his name... Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
He said he made the wrong call on something.
He stopped short of admitting making the wrong call. He was on, I think it was Good Morning America or the Today Show. He said he wouldn't say that he made the wrong call. He said, we have a whole mentality that we developed to get to that point in those situations that we practiced hundreds of times so that when we get there, the thinking is clear. We're sure of ourselves. We're on point with what we want to do. I made the call that comes out of the process, the preparation, and the practice. I think that we're going to do exactly the right thing, or we won't call the play. We won't go with the concept. We won't ask our guys to execute it. So that preparation, that allows me to trust in the players that they're going to do the right thing and make the right decision so that I never make a call thinking that it's going to go bad.
Okay, I don't see why that was in the news. I read the story. I didn't read all of it. It said he cried. I went, all right, we probably should get something out of this. But if he didn't really cry, then it sucks.
Yeah. And when Matt Lauer noted how many people have called it the worst call ever, Pete Carroll said it was the worst result of a call ever. The call would have been a great one if we catch it.
What was the call?
They called the pass play as opposed to running it with one of the best running backs in all of football.
Yes, Russ. You see, had you been watching the game rather than calling people during it, you would know that this was, as Dan said, perhaps the worst call ever. In Super Bowl history.
I didn't really care about the Super Bowl. All I know is I'm going to 7-Eleven to get some NyQuil. I get stopped because I don't have a front license plate. I thought the law was still in effect where they had screwed up and said, yeah, you don't really need to have a front plate. And I just thought it was a hose job. So I called you. You didn't have to talk to me.
I thought it was something important. I figured, as
if I'm in jail, that'd be the last thing I'd tell you.
Mm-hmm.
What is it important? Are you in jail? Yeah, click. Well, because I know that's the last thing to bring up.
I answered you during the Super Bowl. That ought to tell you something. During the last minute and a half of the game.
I didn't know if you were that interested. I even asked you, do you want to go? I can ask you about this later. No. Go ahead. What is it?
I thought it must be critical.
Well, I just got stopped. Okay, what happened? Did you refuse to blow?
Yeah, well, no.
It's for a license plate. You were so drunk they made you blow a license plate?
Everett is also a big football fan. While he is a monumental baseball fan, he also has his fantasy football league. Yeah, multiple.
And I will take back what I said to you a long time ago about baseball, just being stand there and watch and nothing really happens. I saw a story last week that said out of everything that goes on in the Super Bowl of the almost 4 hours,
yeah, once you factor in commercials and everything, yeah, it's 3.5-4 hours.
There's only actually 17 minutes of play time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, I retract my comment about baseball. Because when they do play, there's a lot of stuff going on once the ball's in motion.
Right.
Same thing with football. I never thought about it, never broke it down to, well, yeah, it's just in spurts.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of it is resetting the ball, talking to the coaches, you know, you got, 30 seconds to reassemble the team, you know?
Yeah, you have a play clock, and teams will typically use almost all of the play clock before running the next play.
Well, I'm glad you've rethought your position on baseball, because it certainly justifies calling people in the last minute and a half of the biggest Super Bowl maybe ever.
Wait and see what happens if the Rangers make it to the playoffs this year.
God. I'm turning off my phone.
Hey, everybody, what are you doing?
The Rangers are glands!
Yeah, okay. I saw a tree. And I'm not sure if it's mountain cedar. I'm allergic to it.
The bases are loaded.
Are oak trees deciduous?
The important questions of our time.
Okay. So we got that. All right. More audio or news?
Let's do news.
Okay. All right. 444, Dan O'Malley's here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Friday, February 6, 2015. Birthdays today. Actress Alice Eve turns 33. She's been in She's Out of My League and Star Trek Into Darkness. Also, porn star.
Was she the blonde?
Yes.
Okay.
Porn star Kitty Young turns 45. She's been in almost 150 films, including Fortune Nookie, Clockwork Orgy, and What's Butt Got to Do with It. Turning 49 today, Rick Astley, the whole Rickroll guy. Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, of course, he turns 53. Fabian turns 72.
I'll be damned, I actually have that audio.
Really?
How did that become a fad?
I don't know.
Hey, you got to look at this clip. It's a chick taking on four guys at the same time in her ear.
That's exactly what it was.
Was it porn?
Well, it was just misdirection.
Well, I know it was misdirection, but I just wonder why they picked Rick Astley.
Right.
I think because of Family Guy, that episode had just come out where...
they were jacking with people with Rick Roll?
No. Where they're... I think Brian played Rick Astley at Peter's prom.
Oh. Okay. I don't really understand, but go ahead.
Yeah. Other birthdays today. Mike Farrell is 76.
Mike Farrell. MASH?
Mm-hmm.
Honeycutt.
Yes, that's right.
BJ Honeycutt.
That's right. Yeah. Rip Torn, he is still alive. Good for him.
Wow.
And he's 84 today. Zsa Zsa Gabor, also still alive at a whopping 98. And the one and only Tom Brokaw turned 75 today.
It is my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Mr. Brokaw.
I still think Brian Williams should. He really better stop talking on that damn television. Or whoop his dog ass.
Not a big fan of his
no.
made up stories.
And that Brian Houston.
Yeah.
Is it Brian?
Yeah.
I can't remember that whole. Rant.
James Woosten.
Everett, I don't know if you were here. We played, you know the clip we're talking about?
No.
Really?
James Woosten?
The old lady that called, this was right after we started here in 2010. It's 2015, in case anybody thinks this is best of.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Ryan had gotten a voicemail from some old lady that was pissed off. I don't know what Chris had said during his show, but she didn't like Chris, and she didn't like Nikki Sixx.
Okay.
We never played you this clip.
I don't think so.
Okay. I told you guys I was going to rename it. What did I say I was going to rename it? Because I could never find it.
It was originally named Buchanan's Mother.
Yep.
Right.
Nikki Sixx.
I found it.
Okay.
There were some words you won't be able to understand.
Okay.
Don't ask us. Got no clue.
All right.
What she was originally pissed off about, still no idea.
Gotcha.
Chris Ryan. This might be the Buchanan's mother. You better quit talking shit over that goddamn radio, for I whoop your dog ass. And by the way, you tell Nikki Sixx quit sucking Vince Neil's dick before he winds up getting bruises all over his pussy face from bouncing off of Vince Neil's ass. Oh, by the way, James Wilson been putting no shit on Vince Neil. Vince Neil can't sing. Suck his real good, Nikki.
The 5 years we've been here, we've never played you this clip.
I wouldn't remember that.
I'm of stunned.
All of all the things that we wear out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We missed one.
Hey, Chris, no, he just forwarded it to us on our all our voicemails.
Okay.
With just the message, enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And we have. It really is one of the gifts that keeps on giving.
And the James Woosten? We don't know. And we played it for Dr. Thornton one day.
Right.
And after all of it, and our speculation of whatever, and Dr. Thornton went, Did we ever figure out who the Vince Neil was?
I did hear that, but I didn't know what it was in reference to. I just heard he didn't know who Vince Neil was.
Oh, God.
And she said that this is not edited. I mean, it's not, because this came straight off of Chris's voicemail. So it's not like we cut out, you know, some uhs or woo or whatever. It was just straight.
Pristine.
Yeah. Loud lucidity.
Chris Ryan. This might be the Buchanan's mother. You better quit talking shit over that goddamn radio, for I'll whoop your dog ass. And by the way, you tell Nikki Sitz quit sucking Vince Neil's dick before he winds up getting bruises all over his pussy face from bouncing off of Vince Neil's ass. Oh, by the way, James Wilson been putting no shit on Vince Neil. Vince Neil can't sing. Suck his dick real good, Nikki.
I love that.
And the James Woosten, they I think Dan or Alfie thinks she's saying, trying to say Williamson.
I think it's Williamson.
And what does he do?
I looked it up one day, and I think I narrowed it down to that he was, I think, like an East Texas musician. But even then, it's so generic, may not even be the same one.
Yeah, who knows? Well, it's good. I'm glad there's an air of mystery along with everything else to that clip.
Well, it is, and the sad thing is that we want this one.
She's never called us.
No. She's never called since this. She's never called anyone else. Never heard from her ever again.
I didn't even bother to ask her. I just want to know if it was or what the story was, but I never bothered to ask Chris, is this real? Because I don't know. I wouldn't think it's real.
She's like the D.B. Cooper of phone calls. You don't know who D.B. Cooper is.
Hang on. Maybe I'll get it. Is there any possible way I could get this one?
I don't think so.
Do you know who D.B. Cooper is?
Actually, I do not.
Alfie?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Who's D.B. Cooper?
He stole a bunch of money off of an aircraft and then jumped out with a parachute. Never found him.
He's the only person ever to successfully hijack a plane in the United States and get away with it. He does the one thing, gets away with $200,000 he's never heard from again.
Hijacked a 727 in the airspace between Portland, Oregon and Seattle on November 24th, 1971. Extorted $200,000 in ransom, equivalent to $1.16 million today money. Parachuted to an uncertain fate. Despite an extensive manhunt and an ongoing FBI investigation, the perpetrator has never been located or positively identified. The case remains the only unsolved air piracy in American aviation history.
We had to go through all of that, and you couldn't have just said. She's like the Jimmy Hoffa of phone callers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like D.B. Cooper.
Well, we have learned something.
Yes.
The Amelia Earhart of phone callers.
Well, he's not a chick.
Oh. See what happens? Now you're being chided.
So anytime you hear us make references to... You better stop talking on that damn radio before I whoop your dog ass. That's who we refer to.
And anytime I refer to D.B. Cooper?
I will know that that's someone that vanished without a trace.
Yes. As did she.
And the other thing I don't get is she must have called Chris before, or at least her son is called, because she said this is blah, 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 something Buchanan's mother.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never been able to figure out the wait. We got a better chance of figuring out the Kennedy thing.
Yeah.
Chris Ryan, this might be the Buchanan's mother. You better.
Any clue what she says in the beginning?
Chris Ryan, this might be the Buchanan's mother.
See, that's what I hear. This might be. Maybe if I slowed it down.
Ooh, that sounds good. Let's do it.
I'm going to have to open it up in some software.
There's no season ticket in there anywhere, is there?
No. But that was a Kennedy moment for Everett and me when we heard the N-word in Highway to Hell, because we heard it together.
It was lovely.
He was trying to teach me the song, so we slowed it down. So you go, okay, chord, chord. And then we heard the N-word, and we stopped and went, no. No.
Mm.
Let's do it again. Yes.
A lot.
It was like Christopher Columbus discovering America. You know who that is.
Yeah. Hey, look at you. Lucky for you, I think I'm in India instead of Nigeria.
Man, it'd be a different world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Ryan, this might be the Buchanan's mother. You better quit talking shit over that goddamn radio, for I'll whoop your dog ass. And by the way, you tell Nikki Sitz quit sucking Vince Neil's dick before he winds up getting bruises all over his pussy face from bouncing off of Vince Neil's asshole. Oh, by the way, James Wilson been putting no shit on Vince Neil. Vince Neil can't sing. Suck his dick real good, Nikki.
You know she's listening.
Possibly, or maybe she died.
Oh.
5 years of playing that clip. And I really thought you'd heard it, so that's why you were on the inside joke of Brokaw going,
Brian Williams, you better stop talking on that damn television or I'll whoop your dog ass.
You laughed at that, so I thought you were in on the joke.
It was funny in and of itself. Now it's funny on two levels.
Okay, good.
Of course, the moment's passed, but...
It always has. Yes, Robert.
Hey, boss.
Yep.
Speaking of dog ass, did y'all ever find out what happened yesterday between the meeting with Mayor Price and the CEO of Corvell?
Ooh. I read a short story on my smartphone, and it sounded like a lot of it was a bunch of miscommunication. So I don't think Betsy had to immediately crawl, Mayor Price had to immediately crawl up their ass.
Too bad. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall at that meeting.
It almost sounds like it's, you know, one of the options that I brought up is, okay, maybe the Corvell company, they heard about the shooting and they immediately sent somebody there thinking, all right, this is important. We need to take care of this now. And possibly. I think that actually turned out to be part of what actually happened.
Possibly, but you would think they would wait until after the claim was filed.
There may be with a city worker, with a police officer or firefighter, that there's an agreement between Fort Worth and that company of, when this happens, as soon as you're notified, and the city may notify them immediately. We don't know. That's why I don't have the whole story. But it sounds like that was part of it, of this is important. We need to get there now.
Okay.
So
I hadn't heard anything on the disposition of that yet. So
I'll text her during this next break and see if we can get her on.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Okay. You know all that story, Everett?
I don't.
Mayor Price was... You had Sergeant Shane Rake?
Drake.
Sorry, I'm going back to the visual
charades.
Yeah, the charades earlier. It was shot last week. The workman's comp insurance company showed up and somehow upset the family by some of the questions that were asked.
Okay.
And Mayor Price was not happy about it.
Right.
And she made a quick statement, which I still have. But because we were off yesterday, I didn't follow it. But it just sounded like she was ready to go, might be Buchanan's mother on them.
They told me what had happened and how upset everybody was, and I was furious about it. And
I added the music.
Okay.
I knew counsel would be also. It was just very insensitive questioning at a time when an officer is very critical. It was insensitive and inappropriate, demanding that he be in my office next Thursday at 2 and offer some explanation as to what happened here.
Nice.
So we knew somebody was going to get their ass chomped.
Oh, yes.
And as she kicked him out of the office, you know she was going to go, suck his real good, Nikki. Did you find the story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Break.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
It's Dan O'Malley for New Fine Arts. Valentine's Day is, of course, coming up, and New Fine Arts is celebrating with 50 Shades of Play. Today is shade 29. Have a ball.
Man, how come I ain't never, it's always play. How come I ain't no colors?
There are lots of colors.
Well, how come it ain't ever my color?
There are. I just haven't mentioned it specifically. Haven't mentioned any color specifically.
What color you think I am?
I don't know.
Guess.
I don't like to guess.
Go ahead.
Who am I, Brian Williams?
I'm the color of... No, I don't say that. I get me in trouble.
Okay. Shade 29, have a ball. And there is actually some color here. A ball as in the famous silver ones. New Fine Arts has them. And to bring out your inner goddess, you need to get to New Fine Arts.
What I do with a silver ball?
And find your perfect fit.
What I do with it? Where it go?
Well, it depends on, you know, it depends on who's using them and what their goal is.
Well, let's say it's for me. What I do with this big silver ball?
You can get one, usually a couple of them. You can hand them to your lady and let her figure it out.
Are they like them Benihana balls?
Benoit, yeah.
Who?
Benoit.
From Star Wars?
Oh, God.
507. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Got to check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Kroger. Traffic sucks something awful right now. Worst of it's in Dallas. We'll start off there. Westbound I-30 between St. Francis and Jim Miller. Highway there completely shut down due to an accident. Traffic's completely stopped back with Gus Thomason. This one also causing a backup on Highway 80 going westbound. It's at least an hour delay through it. Avoid it if you can. Also in Dallas, eastbound 30 at Ferguson. Got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic's jacked up back to Sylvan. Still in Dallas, eastbound 635 at Coit. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's backed up back from Luna Road. And Grapevine, eastbound 114, right at the 114-121 eastern split. Got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there's backed up back from the western split. And finally, in Denton, northbound I-35, right at FM 455. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from Rector Road. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by KTXA 21. Tonight, clear skies, 42 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and 71 for the high. Right now, 57, but 97.1 the Eagle.
Afternoons on 97.1 The Eagle.
Alfie, are you getting Terry set up in there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I told Everett, I went, I'm pretty sure he can play because he sent me some clips of him playing live steel guitar and some recorded stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but if he sucks, I don't want to find out on the air. One of me is bad enough. So, Everett, why don't you go in there and see if you can maybe help and go, hey, play a little bit and let me see if I can set the levels. And they weren't ready. Everett came back and he goes, I don't know, he's got a real steel guitar and he's got tattoos. He can probably play.
Well, why would anyone admit to playing steel guitar if they didn't actually play?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess steel guitarists are not Diamond Dozen like guitar players.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a niche market.
But he said he's played for, I forgot who he said he's played with, but he's played over 30 years, plays with a local band.
Right.
Makes money doing it, so he's got to be decent.
He looked like he was plugging everything in, right?
How many tattoos do you have?
Oh, at least two.
Just...
Well, they were big, though. They were big. And they were in conspicuous locales, which is...
Like on his head?
Well, no. He doesn't appear to be a neck tattoo enthusiast, but he does have them on his forearms, and they're large. And if, man, you're committed to...
Do they look like military tattoos, or just say, I play steel guitar?
I didn't want to stare. I didn't feel it'd be polite.
It's probably a steel guitar with, like, a skeleton playing it.
Yeah, something like that.
On fire.
Yeah, I was going to say
you had to buy her. What, Alfie?
If you want, we got him set him up.
To have me play like just a few licks so I can get a level.
Go for it, Terry.
All right, I'm getting some distortion off something, so check his output, check the mixer, and then get back with me.
Got it.
All right.
Other than that, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, that's...
That's some serious twang.
Yeah.
Whew. Man.
Any old school country fan right now just got a big, fat, thick heart on them.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I feel the need to spit.
Yeah, you don't even need any chalk.
Right, I'm not even dipping. Just need to go.
Man, I wish I had a wife and I dipped.
I'm craving nicotine right now.
There is something about all that country music. Makes you want to drink and things got to thump and people got to spit.
Oh, yeah.
Horses got to get and I got to talk about it on the bus ride to school.
Well, you have to. If you're going to do something like that, it's important to publicize.
I'm also overwhelmed with the need to iron my jeans.
I never got that out of country. Every other genre's got its own weird fashion statement, but I never got the jeans pressed so flat to where you could actually run through a person, slice them in half.
Yeah, yeah, because you had the crease on the front and the back. Whew. That's how you knew it was a going out night.
Oh, yeah.
That's date night.
Saturday night jeans.
That's what it is. Everything's pressed. Pressed flat, flat, flat. Jeans flat. Shirt paisley, jeans flat. Buckle big, hat on. Bitches, get ready.
You'd need two cans. Two cans of starch, one for the shirt, one for the pants.
What about the boots?
I haven't decided on the boots. Depends on where I'm going. If I'm going boot scooting at Panther Hall, normal cowboy boots. Okay. If I'm going to Escalade 2000, it's the ones with the curly toes.
I'm just trying to watch Alfie on the video feed. He'll tell me when he's got something. You got anything?
It sounded a little better. You want to hear?
Yeah. Now, there's still some distortion coming off something. Check your cables, rewire everything. Thanks. Call me later. 5:14, Dan O'Malley's here with more news.
Thank you, Russ. After his arrest on drug charges earlier this week, we're now hearing from the former girlfriend of Dallas Cowboys running back Joseph Randle. Dahlia Jacobs, who shares a child with Randle, filed for a protective order against him the same day he was arrested in Wichita, Kansas. Russ, I'm sorry, but this may hit close to home for you.
Okay.
In the order, Jacobs claims Joseph Randle retrieved a handgun, pointed the gun at my friend in a vehicle. Jacobs says Randle became upset and smashed the window with his fist, causing glass to shatter across my friend and my child. Jacobs also says police did not find a gun when they responded to the domestic violence call because one of Randle's friends drove off with it.
Why does that... How does that have anything to do with me?
Because it sounds like she's full of it.
Oh.
I mean, she may not be. I'm just saying that everything sounds very convenient. And what the police found doesn't support her claims. Because she said he pointed a gun at her. Police didn't find a gun. Also, I think it was in the initial 911 call, she was saying that he had abused her. They found no evidence of any injuries on her. Also,
are you sure you're not reading my police report from South Lake?
I know. It's very odd. That's why I said it's going to hit close to home. And the other thing is also, if he punched out a car window, pretty sure the police would recognize all the blood and the glass in his hand. But they have had yet to mention anything about that. Anyway, police confirmed that they were told a gun was involved, but it was never located. In her protective order, Jacobs describes Randall's demeanor. The defendant has a violent temper and gets angry very quickly. I'm frightened that he will do something to harm me and my child. He has a history of being both physically and emotionally abusive towards me. Meanwhile, Wichita police have dropped the unlawful possession drug charge until they review the entire incident and conduct more interviews. Police say they may refile the charge and add additional charges against him if they determine domestic violence did occur.
And this is what city?
Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, okay. Yes. Definitely not my police report because in the one you're reading, they're investigating.
That's true. Yeah, this here it says ongoing investigation. More interviews and get to the bottom of it, all that
standard
stuff.
Mine was, all right, let's wait 5 days and pick him up. Was there a 911 call? No, there's not because I made her leave.
Which is very, in all my history, that is very common in domestic violence situations. The guy hitting the woman says, leave.
Yeah, there are a lot of bogus allegations out there, I can tell you just from.
And this may be one of the.
Just from what? Do you know?
Well, from practicing criminal defense law. I mean, I see it all. It's one of the most, next to DWIs, it's one of the most common types of cases I see.
Domestic abuse?
Yes.
That's the one that's, obviously, I take a different perspective on it now.
Sure.
Well, I mean, it's that was one of the first things that pissed me off is I always said, you just don't. You don't hit a woman. You've proven nothing. You know you're stronger than she is. And if you've gotten so mad that you hit a woman once, you're not going to stop. So you just don't. That was the first thing that pissed me off about the allegation.
Right.
And then the being irresponsible with a gun.
Yeah.
And they're getting charged with a second-degree felony, good for 20 years in prison.
Yeah.
And then everything being dismissed. Well, that's not normally a thing that you can just walk off with community service as a second-degree felony.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's an easy allegation to levy against someone. But proving it is another issue. And that's where your salvation can lie if you're someone that's wrongfully accused.
And given the NFL's new policy on domestic violence, this is one of the first instances I've heard about that it could be tested. And here you've got an accusation being thrown, and there needs to be a full investigation to find out, was there in fact any wrongdoing?
And if he busted out a car window with his hand,
yeah,
forget about the glass and cleaning it up. There's going to be, I can't imagine you not breaking something.
Right. Even if you don't break your hand, you're going to break the skin because you just punched through glass.
Sure. If you use your hand. Now, is that what she's saying? I didn't necessarily catch that part. He could have knocked it out. I'm just playing both sides of it. He could have knocked it out with a bat.
In her claim, she says that Randall became upset and, quote, smashed the window with his fist.
Okay.
Causing glass to shatter across my friend and my child.
Yeah. I agree.
I saw the end of Karate Kid. The dude's knuckles were bleeding.
Sweep the tires. Sorry.
I've had that come up in a case. And
what?
Somebody was alleged to have knocked out a window, a car window, and they bled.
Mm.
There was blood.
Look at Deion Sanders.
Yes.
With Pilar. He hit me with a statue. Deion wheels it into court. Wheels it into court.
Right.
Is this the one that I picked up and swung around?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a smaller one.
I think had he wielded it in the manner that you speak and hit you, you wouldn't be talking.
And I think even her friend backed her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's swinging around that 5.5-foot tall statue that he had to bring into the court.
Over his head. Yeah. That was what her friend said. So I'm just curious to see how all that plays out.
Okay. Hang on, let me check with Alfie. How you doing, Alfie?
Doing better. It's a little hissy, but it's a hell of a lot better. You want to hear?
Well, I don't know if I want to trade out hissy for distortion.
It's not as near hissy as it was before.
All right. Let me hear it.
All right. Hit it, Terry.
Why is that soothing?
I don't know.
Maybe it's because... All right. I'll come in and check it during a break just to make sure that everything's grounded, because sometimes you want to ground things, sometimes you don't. Sometimes grounding something can create a hiss.
Mm.
I learned that.
Where'd you learn all that?
From cutting cords in a studio and making things blow out.
I had a feeling.
Domestic abuse, steel guitar. Oh, I think it was probably because when we go to bed as kids, my mom would leave the radio on really low. And obviously it was country music.
Sure.
And at night, they're not going to play, you know, something fast. You know, you're not going to have Only Daddy that can. Hey, ask him if he knows Only Daddy can walk the line.
You know Only Daddy can walk the line? I heard it. I could get it.
Yeah. Tell him to get it tattooed on his arm for next week. He goes, dun, 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 dun. Try that. Really, this is my audition? When I was in Nashville, they gave me sheets of paper and whatnot.
Actual notes.
Does he read music?
You read music? No, I read chord charts.
All right, so he knows chords. At least he's still a step ahead of Everett.
What does that mean?
You can't read music. At least I can read tabs.
Well, so what? I still play.
That's why it took so long for Everett to teach me Highway to Hell. Well, all right, what key is it in? He goes, I don't know.
I held up a guitar and went, this one.
And I think probably it helped me. to learn from Everett and then Mike Mraz, the lead guitar player for Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike knew to dumb everything down. Everett certainly knew it. And that helped me learn how to play like the same chord in different areas on the guitar. Had you just shown me a regular G.
Right.
Instead of the cheat G.
Right.
All I would ever know is just, okay, G is just right here. But since you showed me a cheat one, then I found the cheat G's up and down the neck.
Oh, yeah, they're all
it's
over.
It's like, why are they hidden? Why they just teach you this one? What kind of ripoff is that?
It's a screw job from start to finish.
I think guitars were invented by Enron. Okay, we got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I have audio that goes with this. It'll be cut number 12. In an online video Wednesday, a gun rights activist pushing for legislation allowing Texans to openly carry handguns tells state legislators that treason is punishable by death. Corey Watkins, once again of Open Carry Tarrant County, posted, then later pulled the video on YouTube, but not before another user uploaded it. The link was then shared by groups that oppose open carry legislation.
I'm tired of jacking around. I'm tired of playing politically correct games.
This is Corey Watkins speaking.
Yeah.
This is the one that's been giving Arlington PD all the grief?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of jacking around. I'm tired of playing politically correct games. I'm tired of saying, well, this is chess, and we got to take this slowly. No. No, 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 no. This isn't a game, okay? This is reality. And then these are our rights that they're playing with.
Who's he speaking to?
To the camera.
Oh, it's a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed that.
Okay. And I don't know if they forgot what their duty is, but it's to protect the Constitution. And let me remind you, going against the Constitution is treason. And my friend, that is punishable by death. That's how serious this is. And I think that they've slipped away from that. You know, maybe a foot in the door got a friendly reminder, a Rosa Parks reminder, a peaceful reminder of we're not playing around. I don't think they want to mess with us too much longer. They better start giving us the rights, or this peaceful non-cooperation stuff is going to be gamed up. We're going to step it up and
That didn't make any sense. What kind of who is he threatening?
Legislators. Well, the foot in the door thing.
The state of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
The foot in the door thing that he's referring to is a confrontation he had with Representative Alfonso Navarez at the Texas Capitol on January 13th. And on that day, the first day of the legislative sessions, Watkins and a group of other activists had a heated exchange with Navarez in his office, and that's where they had, you know, put the foot in the door when they were trying to be closed.
They are not doing themselves any good by continuing to go against Arlington PD, refusing to work with Arlington PD, making scenes, going to places with weapons exposed. You're not doing any good with legislators because nobody wants a piece of that action.
Right.
What if something bad happens? Then the legislator's going to go, whoa, I didn't really want to. Okay, I tried to vote against it. It's just, it's liability that nobody wants. Your rights are in place. You can carry a gun. You want to carry a handgun? Go take the CHL class if you qualify for it.
Yeah, but they're saying they shouldn't have to go through that. It's supposed to be Second Amendment right to bear arms, and we should be able to do that openly without and not having to get sort of license to do it. It's the Constitution. Give us our rights.
Are they at least okay with being vetted, a background check of saying, hey, do you have a felony? Do you have any reason why you can't carry a handgun? Are they okay with that?
That I don't know. I would hope so. But after the video was circulated, Watkins explained on Facebook that he was certainly not threatening anyone and was not talking about hurting legislators or anyone else. But Navarez,
well, if you said, you know, this, you know, first of all, how dare you bring up Rosa Parks? This has nothing to. It's talking about civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was fighting for. You're talking about your perceived constitutional rights, which some are in place, and you can have a gun. Doesn't mean you could run around swinging it all over the place. There are laws in place that say, yeah, you can carry a gun or a shotgun in certain areas unless it creates a disturbance. Am I right?
Absolutely.
If it creates a disturbance, then you cannot carry it there. You cannot carry a shotgun into a bank.
Well, it's like free speech. You know, that doesn't extend to your right to yell fire in a crowded theater when there isn't one.
What if you did it at a firehouse?
Is D.B. Cooper there?
Oh, my God.
What if I ran into a fire station and screamed out Tropic Thunder?
I think you might be all right.
You get it?
Yeah.
Did he just scream out movie in a fire station?
Oh, perfect. You guys are already ready to watch. Hanging out in your chairs.
Line one, Alfie.
How do you say his name?
Her name's Jera.
Oh, Jera. Yes, Jera.
Hey, you know, I'm a really big gun rights activist, and I think that the real gun rights activists don't really want anything to do with open carry. All it does is make you a target. If somebody and plus, if somebody knows where your firearm is on your body, it's going to be easier for them to take it away from you in a confrontation. So I don't really think that we need to have AR strapped to our chest when we go eat at Chili's. So I think that guy's a Looney Tune. He needs to shut up.
It's actually sad, too, because he's basically done that. They've had get-togethers at Chili's.
With their weapons exposed.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that that's silly. I mean, because in Texas, we can already open carry in the places that we need to open carry. So when we're hunting or if you work for an employer that allows you to open carry on premise, why would you need to do that walking down the street or going to the grocery store?
I don't know. That's a mentality that as stupid as I am, I can't even get to that level, so I can't help you with that one. You say open carry to me, that means I could walk around on the streets with a beer can.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's tackle that. That's what I want.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:38, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Service. Traffic is hilariously bad right now. Sucks if you're in it. Let's start off in Dallas, west on I-30, between St. Francis and Jim Miller. Highway there completely shut down due to an accident. Right now, traffic is completely stopped all the way back to 635. It's at least an hour and a half delay. This is also causing a big-ass backup on 80 westbound, so avoid that whole area if you can. Eastbound I-30 at St. Francis got an accident. Sorry, same accident's blocking the left lane. Traffic there's jacked up back to Hampton Road. Also, in that backup right at Ferguson, that earlier accident there has been cleared. At least a half-hour delay through that. Still in Dallas, eastbound 635 right at Coit got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic there's jacked up all the way back to the bush. Hour delay through that. Let's move into Irving. Westbound 114 at Esther's got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic's jacked up back from O'Connor. And at Corinth, southbound I-35, just before Corinth Parkway, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is back to the 35 E35W split. Never miss a moment of the show by subscribing to the Russ Martin Show audio and video archives today at russmartin.fm. Proceeds benefit the RMS Listeners Foundation. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagle Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Half Price Books. Clear tonight, 42 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny. High of 71. Right now, 57 and 97.1. The Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
What?
I said sing it.
I've done it enough on the air.
You go, boy.
You know what we can do? Alfie, you pretty much got Terry set up in there with a steel guitar?
Yes.
Okay, and he can hear what I'm playing in here.
You can hear it, right, Terry?
Okay. Terry, I'm going to play this bumper again, okay, and just grab on. Okay. I don't know what key it's in. That's probably it.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show. Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling.
Thank you.
told you he had tattoos.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I think we got us a steel guitar player for the band.
I dig it.
Who is it? How long have you been playing steel guitar, Terry?
About 30 years.
What local band do you play with now?
Texas Cartel.
That sounds dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They're a Texas country band.
Although your tattoos don't look too dangerous because they're all of Volkswagens.
Yep. I'm a Volkswagen junkie.
You got German heritage?
A little bit, yeah.
What else are you mixed with?
Irish.
Yeah, usually the Irish go with the clovers and such. No, I'm doing the Volkswagen.
Getting Volkswagens all over my arm.
He's not the only one. I know. I've had a buddy of mine for years. He's got the Volvo logo tattooed on his leg.
Volvo?
Swear to God. Man, that man loves Volvo.
Alfie, what's line two?
She is calling about Corey Watkins.
Oh. Yes, Ashley.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, I graduated high school with Corey, and I haven't been following it too closely, but it doesn't surprise me at all. He was always kind of a troublemaker and a bully, and he really just liked to intimidate people. So my thought is, I don't necessarily believe that this is about gun control. I think it's more about that he just wants to be in control of anything, and I think his fear is that of anybody telling him to be able to do anything. I just think that this is all about him and being in control, and that's it.
Well, so far, from what I've seen, short of a couple of incidents, he's stayed within the guidelines of the law. I don't know if he's been arrested, but I'm missing the aspect of why I want people to know I'm carrying a gun. That's the part I don't get. Me, I don't want them to know. Because I don't want to be the first. Thanks for calling. I don't want to be the first target in a holdup.
Right.
Okay, that guy's got a gun. I'm gonna kill him first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get the guard. Then I'm gonna get the buck tooth guy with the mustache, which would be me.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he probably ain't that good of a shot, so I get him second. I just, you know, with citizens, the whole idea is the aspect of who's holding and who ain't.
Right.
If the law was, yeah, everybody can carry the weapon out in the open, then you go in someplace, you size it up, go, all right, too many guns, I'm going someplace else. So that's the part I can't grasp is, what is your big thing? Unless he's talking about rifles, shotguns, things like that, not just a pistol.
No, he wants open carry of pistols. He can already and does open carry his rifle, as anyone can. He wants to be able to have his, you know, gun on a hip. Or wherever else where he wants to carry it, but in the open.
I don't know. To me, that's just, that's like, hey, all right, carry my gun out in the open. You know why? Because I got a micro penis.
Man, I've seen his Facebook page before, and he deals with a lot of that.
You think he's got one?
That I don't know.
No.
But for whatever reason, there's that.
We can speculate, can't we, Counselor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I speculate he has a micro penis. And that's only my opinion, and I cannot verify it.
But it is your fervent belief.
Fervent.
Yeah.
I think he also looks at it as mainly, instead of from a tactical standpoint, he's looking at it as, my right says I should be able to have a gun, and there should be no qualifications on it.
Comments, Counselor?
Well, I mean, he certainly has the right to feel that way, and he's doing what he can to sort of test the boundaries of the law. And as you correctly point out, Russ, it sounds as though he's been staying within the boundaries of the law, largely, to this point. So, you know, unless and until he breaks the law, he's certainly free to engage in free speech and express his rights, express his views, and just as we all are able to do.
So I wonder why he pulled the YouTube video down before somebody else captured it.
Well, the thing
isn't that what happened with that story?
He tried, but someone already had captured it.
Well, that's
it.
What I'm saying. I wonder why he pulled it down.
That I couldn't tell you. Now, more than likely with him and the cause that his group is going after, they want no... They want what they want, and they don't care who disagrees with them. And if you disagree with them, they see it as they are spearheading this on your ignorant behalf. They are doing us all a favor without most of us even realizing it. They're the enlightened ones. We're the stupid sheep.
But I don't want to carry my gun out in the open.
You don't have to. But just because you don't want to doesn't mean that I should not be allowed to.
Maybe they feel, I'll try and argue his side, that there are too many gun laws being added, too many more restrictions.
Yeah.
Brady Bill, things like that. So maybe if we can push forward and open up some of the gun laws, you know what I'm trying to say?
I do. I mean, you know, here's the thing. When you start talking about the Constitution, constitutional rights have been interpreted over a period of more than 200 years of Supreme Court case law that is continually redefining what is and is not constitutional. And there are things that 10 years ago, that last year, were constitutional and are now unconstitutional. The Constitution hasn't changed. Our court's interpretation of it has. And so, you know, these are the sorts of exercises that people engage in. These are, you know, that cause a shift, that cause people to, that cause the courts to change opinions, to change rulings, and continually redefine the constitutional landscape under which we live.
Anybody have a clue?
Oh, no, huh?
Thank you, though. It was quite verbose.
It sounded good.
Yeah. It sounded patriotic. And like the Constitution is fluid.
Yeah. You know, you ask my opinion and I tell you stuff. I try to elaborate.
At least I didn't call. It's not the end of the Super Bowl.
Well, that's true. God, I still can't believe you called me.
A minute and a half left,
Dan.
Yeah. Hi, Everett, I know you're not really doing anything important. So
that is not the way the phone call went. But if you want to go that way, that's funnier.
Let me ask you this, Russ. When you and this cop are the only two people driving around on Earth,
yeah,
did you ever wonder where everybody else was?
I did. There were other people around.
There were drones. There were no living.
Just to fake me out to make me feel like there are other people on the road.
Yeah, that's why you got pulled over, because you only went out there.
It caught me off guard because I'm sitting still. It's not. Had he pulled me over for speeding and then said, oh, you don't have a front plate. At least, you know, pull me over for something that I know I've done.
I think he probably thought you weren't home watching the Super Bowl. You must be drunk. Everybody else was. That's what I was trying to do. Minute and a half left.
Then I won't go to 7-Eleven during
Seattle's
the Super Bowl.
Driving. Okay, fine. Seattle's driving. Circus catch. I mean, you know, looks like they have the game won. They're down on the 4-yard line. Phone rings. Hey, man,
and
I got pulled over. I don't have a front license plate. What do you think? I think the Super Bowl's on, and it's a minute and a half left.
I could have waited. I didn't know.
You could have.
I didn't know. I was disinterested. I didn't really care. I watched the last end of it. I went, okay, well, Seattle lost. I think I'm going to drive around without my front plate on, see, can I get stopped again? But if you think it was a... not a ruse, but just a way to stop and see if, hey, Super Bowl's on. Some people out may be going out for more beer. They might be drunk. And if that's a way to keep drunk drivers off the road, that's fine.
It may have been a pretext.
Yeah, I actually had an officer email me. And
I'm not mad about him. I just thought it was odd.
I had an officer email me earlier when you brought it up. And he said it's a BS reason for contact that we use all the time. That one and inoperable rear license plate light are great when you just want to, quote unquote, talk to someone.
Yes, exactly right.
And I guarantee you every cop will tell you the same thing if you get him in an honest mood.
Well, sometimes we like to visit, let citizens know that we're on the job, on the duty.
Could be.
Sometimes I need them to roll down their window so I can sniff.
And they're within their rights to do it. You don't want to get pulled over for something that you think is silly or stupid, then don't give them a reason.
Well, the reason I pulled you over is because of your front plate. I got a front plate on my car, but it's upside down.
Is that a law?
Yeah. Does it have to be right side up?
Yeah, I think they prefer that.
Does it say that specifically in the code?
Yeah. I think so.
I think they thought of that. I think hopefully they'd say in a readable fashion.
Yeah.
At an upright.
Unless, of course, it's a rebel flag. It looks the same either direction.
Genius.
But then you've got people with trucks, license plates, with a trailer hitch the size of a bowling ball, so you can't see two-thirds of the plate.
No, it's true.
Technically, they're following the law.
Yeah, it's obstructed. I mean, I can see an officer arguing that as a reason to pull you
up. Okay. I'm not arguing with the Frisco cops. I just thought it was odd. At first, I thought, you know, when I really realized he was pulling me over, all right, it's one of the cops that I know, and he's jacking with me.
Right.
They had, why let me go? I don't know.
He probably wanted to watch the Super Bowl.
You're a real kid. What, we got a couple minutes, Chloe?
Yes.
Alfie, ask Terry if he wants to try another song.
You want to play another song, Terry? Are you ready?
I'm going to pull, since Chuck's not here, I'm going to pull one of the, excuse me, if I can find it. Here we are. One of the songs, some of the songs that Chuck and I recorded as a bumpers.
Oh, okay.
A while back.
Gotcha.
You want to try the Batman one, Terry? It starts in E.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a second. Good truck driving man, steady and hold it low behind. Here we go. I'll give you a second to catch on up. Wear it out, brother. What is it, Dan?
That is awesome and awful. It is just everything in the world all rolled into one
package.
Hang on. I think the Munsters is coming up. It's also an E, Terry. Give it a second.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Me on guitar.
Very nice.
Here's a pick scrape.
Ooh.
All right, so it turned around. It's about me now.
Mm-hmm. Imagine my surprise.
All right, I may have had that one coming. It's been a while.
I go in during this break, and we'll see what he knows. I'd like to try one more. Terry, what about Great Balls? Hang on, I got the mic down. Great Balls Fire?
Yeah, what key?
Starts in C.
Okay.
Or Johnny Be Good. Do we do that one already?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
No.
You'll try Johnny Be Good?
Yeah.
It's an A.
Okay.
Someplace.
I think you found it.
Yeah.
That's very nice. You know, somewhere Don Davis is plucking out his own eyeballs and hair and ears.
I need to chew them out, but the Russ always shows the Arbitrons to me. He played steel guitar on the rock station. Yes, I did.
On the rock at Dallas-Fort Worth.
Lady Johnny Be Good. Did Terry own it?
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker owns that. All right. So I've got another spot here?
Yes.
All right. We'll be back. I believe this last hour is going to be Merle.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is an Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Goya. Let's get started off in Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound I-30 between St. Francis and Jim Miller. Highway there is still completely shut down due to that accident. Traffic's completely stopped back at 635. The same incident did have the eastbound lanes jacked up. They'd be back to back from around Hampton Road. Let's move into Irving, westbound 114. Right at Esther's got an accident there, blocking the left lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Loop 12, Walton Walker. Into Corinth, southbound I-35. Just before Corinth Park, we got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is jacked up all the way back from the 35E-35W split, about a half hour delay. Excuse me, in Denton, northbound I-35, right at FM 450-455. Got a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Traffic's backed up back from Rector Road. And finally, in Fort Worth, eastbound I-30, just before Summit Avenue, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back from Camp Bowie. As always, if you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Al McCoy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Three Forks Steakhouse. Tonight, clear skies, 42 for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 71. Right now, 57. At 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
No, because then you'll start singing.
Yes.
And you're going to season ticket me when I can't get to the console.
Yeah, he will.
Just three short words.
Everett said, get Terry to try Highway to Hell. Okay, do that without Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And Everett said, then, you know, I'll just jump on it. No, the f*** you won't.
What needs vocals?
Not yours. Your vocals are too dangerous.
I'm just saying what Bon Scott sang.
We want Brian Johnson's version.
Well, that's not the original.
And they don't do the original for a reason.
That's like saying, no, I don't want the Mona Lisa. I want somebody that watercolored it in.
Mm-hmm. I want the Mona Lisa in blackface. That's what you're going to do to me. Change it to the Monica Lisa.
That's a good visual.
Alfie, does we don't have to do it now. Does Terry think he can pull that off?
Terry, think.
Say no?
Yeah, I don't know. We can try, but I can't guarantee anything on that one.
Well, that's the way our band rolls.
Okay.
That's true.
I can't tell you what key it's in. I know it starts in A, and then it's got some funky side chord, and Everett can't tell us what it is.
Just getting my voice ready.
You will not?
Chloe, do you not know?
Nope. See, I think it's in, I think G for some reason.
Well, it starts in A. And then it's got some kind of funky G, F combination.
Uh-huh.
And then G. That's all I know.
I'm thinking it's key of G.
Isn't it key normally what you sing it in?
Yes.
It's an A.
Okay.
All over. Good job. Yeah. That's a really smart group.
Well, it took me 13 years. And if you ask Everett what key it's in, he goes, this one.
Well, I hold up the neck of the guitar and put my fingers in the right spot.
How is it you can play really a guitar virtuoso and you can't read Dick?
That's just not how I learned to play.
It's also unnecessary. He doesn't need to know what the notes are or read the sheet music when he just jumps to them automatically. He's basically like the calculator of music. He doesn't need to show his work. He just does it.
Plus, I like the mystery.
Like the D.B. Cooper? Is that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Exactly.
You're the D.B. Cooper of sheet music?
Yeah, that's me.
All right. You want to let him try one more before we finish news?
Yeah.
He seems to be pretty good with the 50 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He did really good with Johnny B. Goode. First of all, I think he's in the band. You open for that, Terry?
Sure.
Big police fire supporter?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we play for free.
Even better.
Okay.
I'm a former firefighter myself.
What'd you say about firemen?
I used to be one.
Oh, I thought you said fireman. All right, I used to fireman myself.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But I don't know if that's the same as giving back that we're doing.
Yeah, I many a fireman. My goal, my bucket list is Lieutenant Denzel. Big velvet purple cape flapping in the breeze.
Oh, man.
Tea bagging me.
Mm. It's really amazing that any of us have any friends.
I think it may be the foundation that keeps us alive, and that was never my intent to form it.
But thank God.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, between Lieutenant Denzel, Swiss cheese, and multiple others.
Mayors.
Yeah, mayors, thank you.
Well, Mayor Rawlings didn't know about the foundation the first time he was on.
No.
He embraced us. I think he knew that there was already the fear that if we mouthed off to him, we would help build up the Trinity River level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had us.
We don't even use concrete shoes anymore. We just tie you to a backloader. So it looks like an accident.
Yeah.
Terry, you want to try a quick round of Great Balls?
Sure.
Have we done this one yet? Okay. Starts in C.
All right.
Here we go. G, back to C, F, G,
there it is.
What?
None.
Okay.
That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, and that's just ad-libbing. I mean, he's just going with it. Imagine how good he'll sound when he practices.
What songs do you guys normally do with your band? What is it? Patron, what is it?
Texas Cartel.
Yeah, the Cartel. What do you normally do?
Texas country stuff. Pat Green, Randy Rogers Band, Jack Ingram, that kind of thing.
It's good stuff, man.
Do any Buck Owens?
Not yet.
Why don't you be a country band? You don't do any Buck Owens.
Well, Texas country's a little different. We do some Merle, though.
But you don't do Big Wheels.
No, we do Stay Here and Drink.
I'm going to talk about what you do. Do you play any Merle?
Yeah, that's one of his better ones.
Okay. No, we're not doing that one. Chloe, take that one off. All right. Where do we leave off with news?
Last we were talking about the open carry.
Okay. All right, Alfie, that's what all the phone lines I see they're lit up about. Don't want to take any of these?
Maybe line 3. He has a good point.
Okay. Yes, Neil. Neil? What did Neil want?
He was saying that a lot of the open carry people, at least the way he sees it, want open carry for rural areas as opposed to just in the middle of a city causing a disturbance.
Yeah, but that's not the open carry Tarrant guys.
I can see in different situations. I mean, is it still legal to carry a rifle, to have a gun rack in the back of your truck?
Yeah.
Okay. It was just popular when I was a kid, but because I was underage, we had to put a bat.
Right.
And by today's standards, if you went onto a school campus with the bat in your gun rack, you would still face disciplinary action from the school.
Even if I was on the
baseball team?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was actually a case that happened to a kid a few years ago. He was on a baseball team, but his bat was in a car. Someone reported it, and he got in trouble.
What about a Zebco?
Somebody on the fishing team?
Yeah. I'm on the fishing team.
Yeah.
You going to school to trick fish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I carry my Zebco.
Got away. Everyone... working for a scholarship.
What if I had a gun rack and put an Ebner root on it? All right, 6:16. Dan O'Malley's here with more news.
All right, thank you, Russ. A recent survey asked 2,000 people for the strangest questions they've been asked in job interviews. And some of the top ones, top 10 technically, are 1. Which video game character would you like to be and why?
I know it wouldn't be Frogger.
Why not Frogger?
Have you ever played Frogger?
It's been a long time. I'm asking as if I'm the interviewer.
Oh.
So I want, because I'm asking a question.
Because I don't want to get hit by a car and flattened out.
And how do you think that would apply to the job you're interviewing for?
I don't know. Do you drive cars up and down the hallways here?
Not on a regular basis, no.
I would really, honestly, in a real job interview, if I had to answer all these questions, what type of animal you would want to be.
Mm-hmm. That's like 5. What dinosaur would you like to be?
I like the raptors.
Velociraptors.
Yeah, because they seem smart. They could open stuff.
They are.
They were fast. They had big claws. I don't know if I'd like to trim my toenails.
Yeah, but it comes in handy.
The animal at this point, I think I'd have to, if they ask that one, mm-hmm. I think I'd have to go to the honey badger.
That's pretty badass now.
And that's what we were talking about, not just a long time ago, but recently, could get bitten by a rattlesnake.
Yeah, and then in order
to... They sleep it off.
Yeah, to take a nap.
Have you seen the documentary about those things?
Yes.
I think that's where I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Of all the things, a guy that, for whatever reason, he had a pet honey badger.
Yeah.
And he made the pen.
Right.
And it kept crawling out.
Every time he'd find a way to keep it in, that thing would find a way to get out.
And did you see the part where the honey badger figured out how to open up the gate?
Yes.
That is freaky.
Yeah. That's a little snarky, mother... not just one latch. It was 2 latches.
Oh, I know.
It's like there was one lower one, and they had to crawl up another couple of inches, open up the other one, slide, and flip while he stood on the female honey badger's head.
Uh-huh.
Make the bitch stand there and eat.
Another one. Who would win in a fight, Superman or Batman?
Superman.
Would
It depends on who's prepared.
Right.
It was just like one of those, hey, we're in a bar, and you ain't got no car. Whoa.
I'm pretty sure Superman would respond to that. I don't need one.
Maybe you can't afford one. You had Spider-Man. What are you, a couple of just babies? Can't keep a job? Oh, we work for a newspaper. And the other one can't even take pictures of himself and sustain himself as a job. I'm Batman. I'm a billionaire. Yeah, it was one of those fly, on the fly moments.
Mm-hmm.
A Superman would win.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, Chloe?
I'm just saying, what about picking up bitches? Really? Walking in a bar. Who do you think is going to be more cool?
Batman or Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with, because, I mean, what's Superman going to valet his cape?
And that actually would be good. My guess is that more women would probably go towards Batman because, A, billionaire status, and B, more the bad boy. Where Superman's a good, old-natured one, like maybe marry Superman, but you're going to be riding Batman when Superman's not around.
Who's got the cool ride?
And you know Batman's going to have a toy just for you.
Who Who wants to get it in the back? That's right. I said back.
Number three, do you wear jeans outside of work?
A job interview question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even ask me why. I could not even begin to give you an answer on that.
Everett, have you ever had to go through any of these?
No, I don't use those. But the favorite question that I ask when I'm interviewing somebody is, what is your worst personality characteristic?
Okay, let me think that one through. How long do you normally give them?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with, as much as I like to hear their answer, I also like to see their reaction to the question, because it tells me a lot about how well they think on their feet.
All right, so obviously you're not going to accept the one of, I work too much.
No, no. And if they say that, then I know they're a BSer, and that gives me information. Not what they're trying to tell me, but it gives me information about
it. All right, I'm trying to honestly think, what is my worst work ethic?
Your worst personality characteristic.
Oh, personality.
Are you asking it that way as opposed to what is your greatest weakness for a reason?
Well, I ask it both ways. Okay. I ask people what their greatest strength is, and I ask also.
Okay, so my worst, the worst thing about me.
Worst personality. Yeah,
I look at too much porn.
You're hired. Not really.
But I look at porn in both languages, Spanish and English.
So you're bi-pornal?
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, that's helpful.
So when I'm done with a chick, I go, gracias. And right before I blow in her face, I go, aquí. when I get the gig,
we'll call you.
Lucky.
Number four. What would you do if the sun died out?
If the sun died out, we would die.
See, I'm kind of with you. That'd be my response. Well, if the sun died out, then we'd all be dead pretty soon. So
yeah. I don't think unless this company makes suns. Make stars. What am I going to do with that? What? What would you immediately do if the sun just...
It just says...
Burn out.
What would you do if the sun died out? Like a light bulb. Just go bloop.
Well, first of all, I'm not going to replace it with one of the new fluorescents. I knew it. The old sun was fluorescent. Oh, no. This will last billions of years. Bullshit. Sun burn out. Keep your receipt. Oh, damn it.
All right, five we already did. What dinosaur would you like to be? Number six.
Well, what about you?
On which one?
Dinosaur.
See, based on the movies, yeah, I'd be pretty tempted to go with Velociraptor because you got friends, you got like a team, you got people around you, you got a community, you're smart, seemingly the smartest. I'd probably go Velociraptor or maybe the ones that fly. The
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, yeah.
What about you, Everett?
That would have been my pick.
The Pterodactyl?
Yeah.
It'd be cool to fly around.
Exactly.
I don't know. Do they have any other powers?
Pterodactyl?
The power of flight, man.
Yeah, they're dinosaurs. They're not X-Men.
Okay. I think I would like to be the Rodando.
Oh, God.
And now I get to recycle a bit.
Yay.
New from Pretty Little Dan, Inc.
Oh, it's got Christmas music underneath it.
It's still good.
Touchable Dandos. Forget the ugly sweater parties this Christmas. It's the Dando Sombrero de Madusa. It can pleasure up to six people at the same time. Just set the unit in the middle of the floor. Have your guest grab onto one of Dan's six Dandos. And with just 10 strokes, your guest Dando is ready to go. And just like Dan, once it gets hard, it stays hard. When you're ready for the Dando to finish, just press the button and let Dan's juice shoot you in the face. And guys, you asked for it, and we did it. We already know you love the Dando, the perfect pleasuring device for the novice, but many of you wanted to heat things up in the bedroom and really bust a nut to a monster-sized dildo. We've now added wings with a span of over 600 feet. Attach three large horns to its head, put serrated spikes on the shaft, and it shoots a uranium heat beam from its pee hole. Pretty Little Dan, Inc. is proud to present the Rodando. The Rodando, a prehistoric pleasuring device ready to satisfy bunghole aficionados. Two 12-volt interstate car batteries are included, so you can start scorching your asshole right out of the box. Another fine product of Pretty Little Dan, Inc.
All right, Dan, that was a good one.
I don't particularly endorse it, but I know good. even though I hate it.
Because you're not going to be a Rodendo.
Because I wouldn't have a choice in who uses me.
I don't know what that means, but I'm trying to think of a name for Godzilla.
Yeah, maybe keep thinking. I give you an A for, you know, thinking.
Rodzilla?
Garod?
Rodzilla.
Hmm? No.
I was trying.
Got to work Dan in there someplace.
Yeah.
Dead air.
I know. So again, the survey asked 2,000 people for the strangest questions they've been asked in job interviews. Number 6, do you like to sing in the shower?
And that applies to the job how?
Well, that's one of those questions where you're getting to know the person.
Can you answer a question with a question? Why do you need to know if I sing in the shower?
Everett, you're the one that interviews people on at least semi-regular basis.
Well, I think a lot of times it gives information that maybe the person isn't intending to give. And maybe it tells you something about their personality. I mean, they're creative, they're fun-loving, they're musically inclined. I don't know. But I think, you know, if you say you sing in the shower, maybe you're a bit more festive than those who don't.
Have you ever been stupid enough to sing a country song on a rock station? No?
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Why?
We know otherwise.
Well, if you already know the answer, why you ask me?
Because you want to see how truthful you are.
All right, I sang it.
Do you also sing it in the shower?
Merle?
Uh-huh.
No.
What about Buck Owens?
Yes. All right, we'll be back.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
6:33, another check on traffic. Alfie Coy is in Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Kroger. Let's get started off in Dallas. Westbound I-30 between St. Francis and Jim Miller still shut down due to that accident. Traffic jacked up back at 6:35. Also in Dallas, eastbound 30 right at St. Francis. Left lane blocked due to an accident. Traffic's backed up back at Hampton Road. And Arlington, eastbound 20 just before Matlock, got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic there's backed up back from 287. And Irving, westbound 114 right at Esther's, got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's jacked up back from Loop 12 Walton Walker. Finally in Fort Worth, eastbound I-30 just before Summit Avenue, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there's backed up back from Bryant Irvin Road. Excuse me, I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Tonight, clear skies and chilly, a low of 42. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, a high of 71. Right now, 54, but 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Okay, it is now time for our Pause in the City segment.
Mm-hmm.
How come you don't wear that favorite shirt that I like of yours?
I ripped it.
Ripped it on what?
One of the dog claws got me.
What were you doing to it?
Just playing.
See, he
rolling
thought,
around playing.
You're playing.
I'll wear it next week, but it's got a big rip on the.
I bet you're leaving four off the beginning of that.
I like that. In his mind, he thought, this is the safest answer. He can't possibly get anything dirty out of this.
I couldn't throw that shirt away, not after all the compliments on it.
It's for playing with my dog. What do we have this week?
Speaking of that, we have two awesome dogs. I know I say that every week, but these really are just incredible dogs.
They're all God's creatures. They're all awesome.
There you go.
Except for you.
So we have Freya. Dan is holding Freya. That's the named after the Nordic goddess of love, beauty, and sexuality.
That dog does not look happy. She's got the look on it like somebody say shit about me once.
All she's missing is the knife.
She
what kind of dog is she?
She's a mini pinch mix.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 7 years old. We rescued.
She does not look happy. She doesn't look like she's going to bite anybody. She's just scared, but it's got that look on there. It's almost like that Samuel L. Jackson look. You put an eye patch over her.
She's ready to
give her a rocket launcher.
Ready to head up shield.
Yeah.
She's a little nervous there. It's first time on radio for her, so. Okay. She
so her, she's 7 years old. She's 16 pounds. She needs to lose 4 pounds, actually. She needs to get down to 12 pounds. I'll explain that in a second. And mostly black, to describe it for the listeners, with brown-colored paws and a few other brown and kind of adobe markings on it.
You know, it's like a mini pincher.
Mini pinch, right?
Looks like maybe a little dachshund. Maybe chihuahua.
I was going to say chihuahua with those ears.
Maybe, no, that's about it. But she's got that look. Now that I gave her a treat, ears are up, we're buddies.
Yeah. Or she's just making contact, thinking like, okay, that's the guy I'm going to mug.
Say what? One more time, mother.
There you go, sweetie.
So we actually rescued her a year ago out of a shelter, overcrowded shelter, on the day she was supposed to be put down. And we adopted her to an elder lady who has had her the past year. And recently the lady went into she needs medical treatment around the clock now. So Freya has ended up back with us and available for adoption again. And she's good with other dogs. She's her foster's here today. So, like, she can attest that she's potty trained, good with other dogs, good with people.
Man, I sure would like to get a dog that's house trained, because all my dogs are yard trained.
Is it possible that they came to you broken in the proper fashion, but then they realized that everyone else gets away with it? So,
I think it was Blue, the deaf cocker. He was the one that started peeing in the house in the ficus trees. Hey, it's a tree. The other ones caught on and went, why go outside? It's cold.
Yeah, really. All of a sudden, they found a loophole.
It's a lot more comfortable on this travertine. I'm sorry, what's her name again?
Freya.
Freya. Watch. Watch when I give her the treat. Watch.
Adopt me or I will kill you. You watch your mouth?
Yep.
Why so serious, huh?
So,
all right, and the other dog?
The other dog, speaking of cockers, by the way, it's a cocker spaniel mix. Romeo is his name. And Romeo was, we just rescued him recently out of, once again, an overcrowded shelter on the day he was supposed to be put down. He's a.
How old is he? He can't be a year.
He is. He doesn't. We all thought that too, but he's actually 3 years old.
Really?
Yeah. We all thought he was 1 to 2 years old max. Still got a real puppy look about him on his face and all, and
he looks like he yearns to be a lap dog.
Oh my God, yeah. He's just loving it. He's like,
oh, hold me like a baby.
There it is.
Yeah, whoever you brought with it is holding him.
Yeah, him.
Look about my back.
Yeah,
rub it.
He is coincidentally, Romeo. His girlfriend, by the way, was on the show last week. Cinnamon.
Oh, did they break up?
Well, they're kind of separated right now because they're in different foster homes. But
I think Cinnamon's working main stage.
So
my name is Romeo.
They were
my pink thing.
Well, they were rescued on the same day, and when they were in boarding before they ended up in different fosters, Romeo would not let any of the other dogs hump Cinnamon, so that's why they were boyfriend girlfriend. So, anyway.
It's funny. I'm the same way about Chloe. He does. He's mostly white with a few tan golden spots and just content.
Yeah, very much so. All the cocker, spaniel, spanner.
Rub my Peter.
Markings.
Rub it. If you rub it long enough, the gift comes out.
Well, he has been fixed, so...
That's okay. I have the reverse erectile dysfunction. It is always out, ready to wet your lips. That's going to be the calmest dog, you guys, the entire time, from Operation Kindness to Paws in the City. This one is just... It's like... He just finished a blunt.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to get adopted.
That is the most relaxed. I mean, he's just chill as can be.
That is beyond relaxed.
Right. He's about to fall asleep.
Chilling with my homies. Man, I sure wish I could talk. First thing I would say is, what's up? Any events this weekend?
Yes, we do. We are going to be at Petco tomorrow, the North Dallas location, Tollway.
Would you like some dog country music to go along with this?
Sure.
Hey, Terry, you got anything to go along with dogs?
Play something, I'll go with it.
Well, just try to go on your own. Solo it.
Anyway, we're going to be at Petco tomorrow, Tollway and Beltline, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And both Romeo and Freya will both be at that event, as well as other dogs from Paws of the City.
I bet both those dogs go fast. Especially Romeo.
Especially Romeo. I agree with you.
You just look at him. He's going, how could you not take me home? There's a special gift.
Really? Just can't let a dog be cute.
Do we get both of them on camera at one point?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And their pictures are on pawsinthecity.org.
Their pictures are on pawsinthecity.org, and you can also like us on Facebook, but it's pawsinthecity.org.
I like you now. Romeo's going, you don't have to go on Facebook. You can see I like you now. You got the little pink thumbs up.
Oh, God.
Okay. Is that it?
That's all we got.
Hell of a segment. Bye.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
651. Broadcasting with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Goya. A whole lot going on right now. Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound I-30 between St. Francis and Jim Miller. Highway there still completely shut down due to that accident. It's probably going to be there for a while longer. Traffic's completely stopped back at 635. Same accident causing a big delay on westbound 80. It's at least an hour and a half delay through it. Also, eastbound lanes of I-30 right at St. Francis are blocked due to that accident. That has traffic jacked up back at Hampton Road. Avoid that area if you can. In Garland, southbound 635, right at Jupiter, got an accident blocking the HOV lane. Traffic there is jacked up all the way back from the High 5. In Arlington, eastbound 20, just before Matlock, got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Traffic's backed up back to 287. And finally, in Fort Worth, eastbound I-30, just before Summit Avenue, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic there is backed up back to Bryant Urban. Not even the safe part of town. Sorry. Caller number 9 with a pair of tickets to go see the Mavs take on the Clippers on February 9th at the American Airlines Center. Call now. It's 214 or 817-787-1971. I'm Alfie Coy, the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. Tonight, clear skies, 42 for a low. Sunny tomorrow, 71 for a high. Right now, 54 and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Did you finish with the job interview questions?
No, we only got like halfway through it. Yeah, the recent survey asked 2,000 people the strangest questions they've been asked in job interviews. Number one, which video game character would you like to be and why? Number two, who would win in a fight, Superman or Batman? Three, do you wear jeans outside of work? Four, what would you do if the sun died out?
I don't think I'd want to work.
I'm with you.
I don't like the trick questions. It's like, okay, this is a radio station. Do you have any experience in broadcasting? No. Okay, you can take Don Davis's job. Yeah, just something that pertains to it. I understand thinking you don't want people that just have their answers straight from a template that they've memorized.
Sure.
But if they've got the expertise to work there, you can ask them questions on the fly. It's like when Alfie is screening calls, like the guy that said he was the gunner on Brian Williams' aircraft.
Yeah, the helicopter.
Alfie ran through a bunch of questions, and the guy had the answers on the fly. That's what you want. Don't make me think about, would you rather be a bumblebee or a hummingbird? Well, a hummingbird sounds gay to begin with. least a bumblebee goes around pollinating. Does.
Yeah, but the bumblebee serves at, you know, the queen bee. And you're, as a bumblebee, you may never get to the queen bee.
Yeah, but you could sting. What does a hummingbird do?
Hey, if you bite, but if you sting, you die.
Yeah, but at least you could sting. Hummingbird doesn't even have the
bee gets one sting and that's it?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. If they lose their stinger, that they're done. Kills them. Not instantly, but soon. Of course, they don't live that long anyway, so what's the point?
Well, now I must mourn.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the hummingbird.
What about hornets? Do they die?
Oh, yeah, they all die.
After the first sting?
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, because I know I've gotten hit by a hornet a couple times, and that's bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, anything that stings you like that.
Well, I can't imagine you as a hornet or a wasp, if you sting somebody and you lose your stinger, then just what's the point in living? Because at that point, you're just going to get made fun of by all the other wasps.
Maybe they just die of shame.
Maybe.
Now I'm a eunuch.
Uh-huh.
I can only get my hair cut at those eunuch places.
I know they don't like it when you throw crab apples at their nests.
Most women don't like that either.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons Mandy called the police on me.
Number six, do you like to sing in the shower? Number seven, this is, we got four more ones we haven't done yet. How do you feel about blood sports?
I don't know what that means.
Like UFC or underground kumites.
Okay, I have no joke for the kumite.
Did you ever see the movie Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No. I think one of the few movies I've seen with Van Damme is a Time Cop.
Okay, Time Cop.
And the Expendables when he was in one of those.
Okay. Well, just imagine an underground fight club. Fight club.
So what was the question?
How do you feel about blood sports?
I'm not big on those.
Okay.
Unless it's maybe two cocks.
And then how would you feel about them?
Are we talking about roosters?
Yes.
I would not like it.
Number eight, do you stop for yellow lights or hit the gas?
Depends on how long it's been yellow. Well, it does. The law is if you can safely come to a stop at a yellow, you do so. Correct?
Right. And I think that's a question that, I mean, they're really trying to find out how truthful you are. Because I think most people, if they see a yellow light and it's safe to proceed, or maybe even sometimes when it's marginal, they're going to go through. And if you have someone that says, oh, no, I never go through a yellow light, I have to question how truthful they're being.
And on the other side of that, as opposed to truthful, it could just be them trying to find out if you're a risk taker or not.
That's true, too.
Well, again, it depends on how long. First of all, if I'm coming up on a green light and it's been a while, then I know that, first of all, it's gone into stale green, which means it's about to turn to yellow.
Yeah.
Which means I still have a little extra time, a couple extra pumps before I'm done.
Oh, my God.
And it's I never run red lights intentionally. I almost did today because traffic was backed up on the tollway from Park all the way up to my house. So I'm taking the side streets and going through an intersection. And I thought I had plenty of time. The traffic stopped and it turned yellow and went, I am not getting a ticket.
Mm-mm.
So I threw the car into a power slide. Take a picture of my door. Send me a ticket now.
Something tells me they would have known it was you.
Chances are I'm probably going to get a ticket for that, even though I got stopped myself in the middle of the intersection.
Well, they may, with the ticket, they may have a little note on it that just says, you know, although, nice slide.
Tough break.
Number nine, if a hippo fell in a hole, how would you get it out?
You can't ask any qualifying questions?
I don't see why not. If they're asking
baby
me
hippo,
random.
Huge hippo. Adult hippo, what type of hole? Now, if it fell in a golf hole, I would just kick it. You know? They're not saying what kind of hole.
That is true.
So I don't know if they're looking for questions of, all right, how creative is he?
Mm-hmm.
And who told you to ask me about the hippo? That would be another question I would ask as an employee. Do you guys, are you just looking for idiots?
And honestly, I don't.
What am I interviewing for?
I would. That would be something. Wow.
Go ahead. What
I was going to say. That's something that if you're being interviewed and you think the questions are silly,
you can absolutely tell the interviewer that I think these questions are dumb. Instead of asking me weirdly worded questions, just come out and ask me straight out what you want to know.
The problem is people won't tell you what – but they tell you what they think you want to hear. And I think that's why – I mean, and I do this. I ask questions that I'm not so much concerned with the answer, but with how they answer.
And ask Russ a couple of your questions.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one.
Serious ones that you actually ask in an interview.
Yeah, I had someone come in a while back that I noticed was looking at my desk, and my desk was a little bit messy, and I could tell it bothered her. And so I asked her if, you know, my desk is a little messy. Does that bother you? And she said, yeah, it does. You know, I'd like to see it kind of cleaned up. And I thought, man, that takes guts to come into an interview with someone that you don't know. Your inclination is going to be to say, oh, no, it was clear to me from her reaction that my desk bothered her. But the fact that she was able to acknowledge that scored points with me.
And she didn't know if this was an honest question or is this one of those setup questions? Are people with messy desks more creative and people with, you know, an organized desk, are they less creative but work inside the company guidelines? Which way is he going with this?
Right. Well,
like,
it told
it's
me
like, that, I don't care what it is. This looks like and I ain't talking to you till you clean it up.
Well, it told me that she was honest in spite of what the consequences might be. And it also told me that she was probably a very organized person, which is what I wanted for this particular job.
Which was she was applying for desk cleaner.
Yes. Yes.
Well, in a legal office, you want somebody that's organized.
Yeah, you want your
administrative staff.
So
ask me a question you would ask a potential.
Well, I mean, I've asked the good ones.
Well, what else do you ask?
Well, I always
ask the basics of have you worked in the legal office, things like that.
Right. And I ask them, you know, what is your best personality trait? What is your worst personality trait? Those are two of the big ones, really.
I'm trying to think what my – did I ever come up with what my worst was? Yeah, I did.
No, you asked –
I look at porn.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yes.
Can we look at porn here? My best – yeah, if I'm going to have too much dead air thinking about this one.
Another one is if I talk to your best friend – what would they tell me is the reason I should hire you?
Because I'm a miserable human being. That's an inside joke, and only six of us got it. The five here and the one at home.
Yeah, but we're all laughing.
Yeah.
God.
I have no – would you accept it if they said, I can't – I feel embarrassed to say something good about myself?
Yeah, I would accept it. But, you know, that tells me, I mean, how readily they tell me what their best personality characteristic is not only tells me what that might be, but it also tells me how humble they are. Are they egomaniacs? You know, if they, you know, well, I'm God's gift to, you know, paralegals.
Oh, I get everything done. People always come to me looking for answers.
Right.
And if they can't handle it on their own, then I take it over. It's like when I got nominated for the – well, this sounds like I'm blowing smoke up my own ass. I refused to say things that I'd done that I thought were good to win an award. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Is that enough in a nutshell?
Yeah, you didn't blow your own horn.
Yeah.
They wanted to know, what things have you done for the community to make you worthy of this award?
On the other hand, it's sort of like, well, why don't you Google it?
Well, it's just I'm not going to win an award based on – the foundation or animals. Mm-hmm. I'm not. Because if that's the reason I want it, then it, to me, it's not right.
But most people, and I mean most people, are only happy to tell you all the different groups that they help with or volunteer for.
Well, and another question that I ask is, have you gone to our website and seen what it is that we do? Because that tells me their level of interest. But it also, there was one person that I think we probably would have hired, but she says, oh, yes, I went to your website. You do immigration and civil litigation. I'm thinking, number one, she's never been to our website. Number two, she's a liar. And, you know.
I know one thing. I know you don't answer the phone in the middle of the night to get somebody out of jail.
She's not been to our website. She doesn't know that.
I heard. You ever ask something like, how would you describe yourself in one word?
No, but that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. I'll add that to the list.
Yeah, why don't you ask me that one?
How would you describe yourself in one word?
Why don't you guess and see if you live? I got a few questions for you on my own. Since you're applying here at Quaker Oats.
Really?
Sorry, it just flashed in my head.
Quaker Oats.
So, who would win in a fight? The Hulk? A honey badger? Or Jesus?
I'm thinking Jesus because he's the Son of God.
I don't know, a lot of bad stuff happened to Jesus. If he was the Son of God, he should have taken all them Romans and done a spinning cobra clutch.
I'm thinking the second time around he may have learned a few things.
Like karate.
Jesus, I'm a karate man. Yeah. I bruise on the inside.
He did rise from the dead, too. He's got that going for him.
I did. You try that one. That's a show closer, Jack. How many marbles do you think you can lick in 2 minutes?
72.
Do you like meeting Jewish people when you visit Detroit?
I haven't been very successful in that regard, but yes, I'd love to give it another try.
Okay. If you really want to work here at Quaker Oats.
I do. It's my kind of place.
Have you ever fingered a ballerina in a tanning salon?
Many, many times.
Oh, my God.
You ever got it on in a Burger King bathroom? You know what it's a home of?
The Whopper, baby.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
You ever done it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With a ballerina.
You ever do, never mind, that's the wrong company. Do you have any autistic friends with bad credit?
Yes, I do. In fact, all my artistic friends have bad credit.
I said autistic.
Oh, autistic. 42.
Why do you think it is they have bad credit? Have you ever witnessed a monkey having a nervous breakdown?
Not yet, but I'm hopeful.
You get turned on when rodeo clowns get down on all fours?
That's one of my fetishes, yes. I enjoy that very much. Only if juggling. Which is difficult when they're on all fours, I have to say. But
would you ever eat a scab from a Komodo dragon?
Will it get me this job? I love Quaker Oats. I'll do anything to work here.
Would you ever give Wilford Brimley a reach around? That's good food.
Are there any other job openings?
No, just reaching around and jerking off Wilford Brimley.
During commercials?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
All right, let me ask you this. What's love got to do with it? Yeah, you ain't getting this gig.
That actually is a great interview question.
Just the last one?
Yeah, it's like, all right, sir, it's nice to meet you. Have a seat right here. And, you know, I'm just really curious if you're looking over your resume and everything, but...
Tell me, baby. Even though you're a man and I just called you, baby, what's love got to do with it?
Love makes the world go round?
I don't know. But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You applying here at Def Jam Records, Mr. Luke Bryan?
Hi. Yes.
What are your qualifications to work here at Def Jam Records?
At Def Jam?
That's what I said, bitch.
Well, I have collaborated with many artists of color.
What colors?
Well, white.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was that one time on the road... where we weren't white, we all did a little jazz singer skit.
You did the jazz hands?
No. We did more the Al Jolson version.
You did what? Ain't you the one they found naked in the middle of the road with Randy Travis?
Yeah, that happened one time. Once.
Because both of you got thrown out of his Trans Am?
We did, and we rolled a number of feet. But it's amazing, even though he was naked and we rolled down the street, not one of his cigarettes was broken. I know, because he stuck one in my ass and lit it. Don't ask me how he took a puff.
So did you sit in the car while he went into the store naked to buy smokes?
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know, probably huffing paint somewhere. Or perhaps at the bottom of my own pond again.
You think you'll be entertainer of the year again?
Oh, absolutely. That is, if I can ever pull it out of the deathly clutch of Miranda Lambert. I've done it once, I can do it again.
All right.
Man, that's a hard job just to get work someplace that makes oatmeal. Okay, it's after 7. If you got anything, let's do it, or we can let Terry play something else.
Let's have Terry play something else. Let's put his Volkswagen tats to the extremes.
Terry, wait, what do you want to try?
I don't care.
After 7, even he don't care.
Yeah. He'll be perfect for this band.
Yeah. Had he said, it's Nikki Sixx's ratings now. I don't know. Somebody throw something out. I mean, he seems to do good with the old 50s stuff on the fly.
Right.
We're not doing Highway to Hell because Everett's going to jump in with the vocals, and I can't play the guitar. You want to try Highway to Hell?
Nope. Yeah.
Did you say no?
No.
Okay. Did Johnny Be Good? Damn. What else do I know? What about Rock and Roll by Zeppelin?
Don't know that one.
Is it Too Fast?
I just don't know it.
Sounds like all you country f***ers are slow. I'll tell you what. Read a story. I'll dwell.
Okay.
But then I'll hit him with something. Can't play Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
Three chords.
What do you get for the man who has everything on Valentine's Day? How about a chocolate version of your own beehole?
Why would I want a chocolate version of my asshole?
Well, someone might. You can edible anus chocolates are not modeled after your specific one. But if you want one similar to that, I'll tell you about a way to go. But they may as well be because who could tell the difference? So, yes, you actually can get a regular box of chocolates for Valentine's Day. But why not remind him of something better? And you actually get beehole chocolates.
Are they like real? Or they just look like they're... No, I don't want to see a picture of it.
Well, you're going to have to. Edible anus.
Okay.
Get a box for $38.95.
I'm going with Sherry's berries because I know those are real strawberries.
And then if you so chose, instead of going the edible route, you can actually get the Bespoke Anus Casting Service.
Bespoke?
That's his name of the company, yeah. Your anus immortalized in solid bronze.
Damn.
You can email them and go to the website, edibleanus.com. But yeah, see, look, even comes in a nice jewelry box.
That's nasty.
All for the low, low price of $1,900.
$1,900?
Look at the price tag.
What's a hole made out of?
Bronze. But it's yours.
If I'm going to pay $1,900, I want a real fleshy hole. Uh-huh. Like from a celebrity.
Like from who?
I don't know.
Charo.
Charo would be good.
Yeah.
Rita Rudner.
Oh.
Linda Lavin.
Linda Lavin's good.
Yeah.
The chick that said, eat my grits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vic Tayback.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I'd love his hole.
Marla Gibbs.
227.
Oh, my God. What about, just might as well go out there and Jack A.
What about Simon and Simon?
Which one? AJ or the other one? You mean the song to play with Terry?
Yeah.
Terry, do you know the theme to Simon and Simon?
Not right offhand, but...
I bet he can pick it up.
I think that's something he can pick.
Just play it, I'll wing it.
It's an easy song. I bet he can get that.
You mean play it live or play the recorded version?
You play it.
Yeah,
play together.
You guys can figure it out together. Yeah, just.
I'll tell you what. I'll play you a short clip of the real version, then you can try it together.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
think you got it?
Yeah.
All right. Alfie, bump his levels up. Dun, 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 dun.
Or Dan, I'm going to need you to ride my levels.
Yes, sir.
I can't do all this. Alfie, you bump his levels up.
He's pegged.
Bring you down a hit, a touch. Now come up a little bit on you.
Jesus, really?
What, you overdid it.
It's up to Terry.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yep. It's not working.
It almost sounds
retarded, stupid, bad radio.
All right, might have been a little bit of some of those.
Tell me when to get close.
Not all of them.
All right, let's just do a boogie riff and you come in. You ready? All right, back to A.
See, now he's being sarcastic.
You set?
I'm ready.
Doing really, really good though. I was waiting for your pick slide.
There it is.
All right, this has been quite a failure, I must say. Although Terry's done well.
I don't think it's been a failure. I think
it was cool because it was setting you up for your little solo, your jam solo.
I just forgot what the chords were. Oh. I might have to get stickers on my guitar. Try that part again. Here we go. All right. That's it.
What's it?
I'm done. Read the plugs, Jim.
For more information on the Bo and Jim Show, head over to kzps.com. For all things, Russ Martin, go to russmartin.com. To get signed up for the Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to russmartin.fm. Other show websites, djclo.net, danomalley.com, and alfiecoy.com.
Hang on a second. Terry, do you have a website?
No.
No.
That was perfect.
You know what? I don't blame you.
Just deleted it. To get more information on Everett Newton, the rock and roll attorney who has no problem being affiliated with this, DallasAttorney.com.
And don't ever call me Terry again.
You can also find and follow all of us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for all things 97.1 The Eagle. Go to KEGL.com. Nikki Sixx is up next for all things Talk Radio 1190. Go to 1190talkradio.com where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.